This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 224. That's 224, or 2 + 2 = 4.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. It's the best I got right now. I mean, I didn't even think about it in advance. I just sort of said it as I was saying it.
So how's your stand-up career coming?
Rizzling shits. Anyhow, of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. Don't even miss a beat.
I'll start off by saying I had plenty of time to do so. I just didn't even bother to watch Cursed. So, it's going to be all on you to talk about it.
Okay. I watched Cursed.
Yep.
Moving on.
No surprise.
Yeah, no. They're trying to add more intrigue to it. They're trying to add more political stuff and, you know, one of the nuns from that rectory is, you know, she's determined to get all the traitors and she's going to become a paladin. So, you know, Arthur's sister runs away. And blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's just fantastic, really.
Fantastic.
I'm just going to go ahead and take that out of my Netflix queue and not bother finishing it.
I'm going to finish it.
Okay.
I'm in it.
If you happen to watch an episode that you're like, wow, this is awesome, and you think I should watch it, send me a messenger message or whatever, and if maybe I'll check it out.
I doubt it.
Probably I won't. Yeah.
My prediction is you won't.
Yeah. I was not sold after episode one.
I was sold on the trailer.
I was sold on the trailer.
And then
I was sold on the concept.
Yep. And episode one left me thinking that there was potential, you know, because episode one had lots of the violence and the paladins killing the fey people and her killing the wolves in terrible CGI. But, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to be the story of her rising to power. No, it's a story of them trying to hide and get this, you know, we actually got more Merlin visiting with that guy who has the fey fire.
Yeah.
I just didn't even care.
Now, after the first episode, I was sold that I wasn't going to like it, that it wasn't very good at all. You gave a very impassioned of why you want it, why you're going to keep on to it. I was like, all right, so I'll watch the next episode. And I did, and I went, ooh, this is not any more enthralling. Did I watch a third episode?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
the fourth one is the one that I just watched.
I thought I put myself through that. And, yeah.
You did.
Yeah, so I think that was enough for me.
So, what did you watch this week?
I watched a lot of other
stuff. That's the name of this episode, this podcast.
Yeah. I watched a ton more stuff.
Yeah?
I did watch The Wife's been just burning through Gilmore Girls. So, I've been watching...
Which is ironic because, you know, the Gilmore Girls are known for talking fast.
Yeah, I know.
So, they're talking fast, she's watching fast.
Yeah. You know, she really burned through the 7 seasons pretty fast. And now she's watching the Year in the Life 4-episode Netflix original.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually...
Each season is...
Yeah, each episode... There's a 4 90-minute episodes. That's a season. And, there's a lot of great moments on the show. I enjoyed it. I just... I actually saw the series finale for the first time ever a couple nights ago. And I must say, it was really good. Like, it was, if that's the way the show ended forever, it ended in a good way. Of course, they have this season, they did this, you know, Year in the Life, like, 10 years later type of thing.
Yep.
And, or 9 years later. And now, actually, they were supposed to already be filming a new season of Year in the Life. But that's been pushed off. They're supposed to start either at the end of the year or early next year. But they are going to do more episodes. I don't know if it's going to be, like, 4 episodes again or more, but... So, that's pretty cool.
Which, yeah.
I mean, that Year in the Life came out in 2016, so that's a pretty big gap again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, mostly our regular shows.
Yeah. Although, I noticed this week, we have a lot of regular shows right now.
Yeah, well, we picked up quite a few.
Yeah, and I know that some of them, like, okay, so Cursed, you know, that's...
Yeah,
Warrior Nun is going to end.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many episodes
right,
for there.
Right, right. We only got two more episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep, yep.
And then you look at the fact that, like, Transformers and Muppet Show are only 20 minutes apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's episode, or the second episode of Bit Play is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I noticed for the rest of the season, they're all, like, 10, 15 minutes.
It's still good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, this show is definitely one you could sit down and binge very, very quickly.
In basically the time it would take you to watch, like, a movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So, but, yeah, you're right. It was really good. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
We'll talk more on that later.
Yeah, I did watch a few movies this week.
I watched one. And I did watch one new show.
Oh, nice. I watched four movies and a 4.5-hour documentary.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it was amazing. I'll tell you more about it. I think I talked a little bit about it last week in Search of Darkness. Or did we talk about it after?
We might have talked about it after.
Actually, I think we talked about it after, and I started watching it after, and I finished it. I'll talk about it in detail later.
Okay.
But let's start with our shows, and let's start with Dark, because you showed me your notes on Dark, and I just went, what?
Well, see, usually what happens is I watch the shows right before coming over here so that they're fresh in my mind.
Sure.
But, as we've said before, it's really hard to keep track sometimes because...
It is.
But it's also hard, like, I'm trying to sell my sister on the show, and it's hard to say to her, it's tricky to watch this because I was like, you've got two different versions of Ulrich, for instance.
Yes.
She's like... Really? And I was like, yeah, but I can't explain more than that.
Yeah.
I can't say there's the 1987
version. No, you can't, because it gives it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's something that this has been a slow burn, but now we're at the point where every episode I'm, like, gobbling it up, and I'm like, I really want to get to the next episode.
You know, really, realistically, I'll say this. I actually watch it now mostly with the English subtitles on. I mean, with English dubbing and English subtitles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it doesn't bother me at all. Because I still find I'm reading it more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
helpful sometimes, especially when they put the person's name in parentheses. They're like, young yeah. Egon, and you're like, oh, okay.
But I think what helps me with it is, like, unfortunately, we live in a short attention span society now because of all electronic devices and everything going on, and we hit a dull point in the show. It's hard to not pick up your phone and start looking. Oh, I got Absolutely. A notification about something. So I do find I read it more than listen. But if I all of a sudden divert my attention to something else, now I'm listening to it, and I'm not missing anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so...
I'm still enjoying the German because I like that it makes me sit there and watch it.
I am usually a... this is something I've been thinking a lot about when it comes to watching. We talked about aspect ratios a few weeks ago on TV shows yes. and movies and everything, and it's also like, you know, there's this Reddit group I'm in that's about all about VHS tapes, and people love VHS tapes and this and that and everything. And I go back to, like, aren't you supposed to watch it in the way that the director intended you to watch it? And maybe I'm just still hung up on that.
Okay, so what is your thought on the Star Wars movies?
What do you mean? Oh, because of how... Right, Lucas made changes.
The original or the digitally enhanced?
Yeah, I know.
Prequels? Later ones?
And I guess what it comes down to is I find I'm not as much of a purist anymore as I was. Like, there's certain movies I definitely want... Like, Evil Dead was filmed in 166.1, which is basically 4.3.
Yep.
That was not a widescreen movie. When you watch the anamorphic widescreen, they've cut the top and bottom off to stretch it out.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look so stretched, as opposed to giving you the full picture.
And we've seen it on the original print. So,
yes.
You know, yeah. we could claim that as well.
Yeah. So I definitely want to watch Evil Dead, that movie, as the way it's intended. I want to watch Quentin Tarantino's movies the way he intended. You know, there's certain directors I want to watch the movies because they put the effort into giving you that big, huge picture and everything else. But then there's other times when it's like I have a VCR, and I've had Bull Moose, and I see that they have, like, The Hunt for Red October, which is an amazing movie, and I don't own it, but I can buy it on VHS for 30 cents. At this point, I just feel like, fuck it, I'm going to buy it for 30 cents and watch it. Because I'm okay with that. I don't care if they, you know, I'm going to, because back in the day, when we all had VCRs and VHS tapes, that's all we had. It's really all we could do, and that's all we could watch. It was in the way that the VHS presented it.
Yeah.
Either it was a widescreen VHS.
So that's your argument for buying it on VHS rather than watching it digitally?
Yeah.
Because we used to do it that way?
Well, no, because...
People used to also wipe with corn cobs.
Right, but what
I'm saying... In their outhouse, where they got splinters and spider bites.
But what I'm saying is, it's 30 cents.
Corn cobs were free.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to wipe my ass with corn cobs, but I'm just saying...
they used to do it.
Well, what I'm saying... It's tradition, Mike. I am talking about movie aspect ratios. I'm not talking about wiping butts.
I'm just saying that your logic is flawed.
Only to you, because you are a electronic... Not electronic, but you want the biggest picture, the clearest picture, the highest definition.
Yes, me and everybody else in the world.
I don't think everybody else in the world is that way. I see all these people in this VHS Reddit group, especially, that, oh, my VHS room's set up, and they have old fucking tube TVs that they have their VCRs hooked to. And I'm just like, I'm not that fucking far into it like that.
Wow.
See, when I watch new horror movies, like I tried to watch this new horror movie called Party Night, and the picture was just too clear. I know it's going to sound stupid, but like when you watch a horror movie, like an 80s horror movie, or even like a new one I watched this week as well, they can make the image look good and clear, but at the same time, it looks like a dark horror movie. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this movie was just too crystal clear, and it takes all the edge away from it being a horror movie, and it just it did nothing for me.
Okay.
I don't know how we got that far, but we did. Anyhow, Dark.
So as I was saying...
Episode 3.
As I was saying...
I do not have bipolar.
Usually, I do not...
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bipolar. That's ADHD.
I have that problem.
Yeah, I know I have that. Usually, I just watch them right before I come over here, and then... You will usually have up, like, the Wikipedia entry, which is why you're, like, rattling it off like that. So today I was like, no, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to watch them right before I go over there, but I'm also going to take notes on everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how my notes compare to your Wikipedia entry, but...
Fair enough.
But, I mean, there's a lot of friggin' notes in here because there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot going on.
So, fair warning to everybody, this is Dark. Episode season 2, episode 3, and then 4.
They're going to be blurred together, most likely.
Yeah. Well, not this way.
Yeah.
So I noticed something interesting about this. So this episode, episode 3, towards the beginning, we get a couple of scenes that I'll talk about in a second, but we get 23rd of June, 1954, 4 days before the apocalypse.
Yep.
The next episode, episode 4... You know, we get a couple of scenes, and then they say 24th of June, 2020, 3 days before the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So, does that mean that the next two episodes are 2 days before, 1 day before, and then episode 7 is the apocalypse?
And then 8 is the aftermath, and then leading us to season 3?
Right.
Seems like it.
That seems like a good way. I dig it. So
I forgot. Is Dark done with 3 seasons?
Yes.
Okay.
But not because they were canceled, because that's where they ended.
That's the story. Yeah. No, I like that.
So... This one starts with Noah strapping young Helgi into a chair down in that room.
Yes.
You know, with the weird walls. The interesting thing was, though, every time we've seen the chair before this, it had those two bars that wrapped around the eyes.
Yeah.
And this time it was more like an Iron Maiden. Like, it was entirely encapsulating his body.
And the chair previously was from 86. Now it's 1987. He's made upgrades.
Mm-hmm. So, and he's giving him some rhetoric. He's basically telling him that time is within him and it'll follow him everywhere and no matter what, blah, blah, blah.
And his face is healed.
Yep.
And big scarry mess.
I was going to say, it's got the scarry mess, but yeah, he's not all bloody or anything.
Right.
Because it's been 6 months since he got some shit beaten out of it. And then we get a very odd scene of young Claudia walking in on her mom, Doris, and Agnes engaging in a little woman-on-woman oral sex action.
Well, yeah.
And Agnes is going right to town on Doris, and Doris is like, wow! You know, it's ringing her bell, and Claudia kind of walks in, and she, you know...
They were just finishing up. But they had been kissing.
Yeah.
So, which, I don't want to be vulgar, but when I'm thinking, like, is Doris going, like, that tastes good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We won't get into that. This is a family show.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Not even close. So that is juxtaposed now because we have Egon in the police station. He's talking to his partner about how, you know, has your wife ever not wanted to be around you? The guy's like, no, what are you talking about? Yeah. My wife loves me. Something's wrong with you. But so he kind of knows something's going on. Claudia, apparently this is affecting her sexually because she's walking through the forest with that guy. And, you know, they get to a certain point.
It's her future husband.
Yes.
But it's Agnes's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just drops his pants.
Well, yeah. She's like, so is now a good time? Okay.
And he drops his pants and she's like, and he drops his underwear and then we move on to the next scene. I'm like, okay.
But here's the thing. If he's just showing her his dick, he doesn't need to put his pants all the way around his ankles.
No, he doesn't. He could have just like unzipped and they got them flat. Tidy whities. I mean, they got them flat. So that's all in 1954. Then we go to the 1987 Claudia. She kind of wants to hang out with Regina. Regina's being a bit of a tool. Yeah, she's a teenager. She's like, oh, where's my book? I got to get out of here. She's like, why don't you just not go to school? And she's like, yeah, right. I got a history test and I got this stuff, but I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going to the beach with my friends, bitch.
Yep. So now Claudia pulls out her copy of A Journey Through Time, which is interesting because
we've got two different hugs her daughter. And her daughter's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And because then she hugs her dad later.
Yeah.
He's even like, what are you doing? But then he hugs her back finally. So she's going through something mentally.
Well, remember, her older self gave her the time machine. It was like, you're going to have to do all this stuff. She buried it in the ground. She's like, yeah, just so you know, this is...
Yeah.
You're going to have to go through all this. So she's kind of coming to grips with that.
Yeah.
These two episodes were a lot of people... accepting and coming to grips with time travel. A lot of people. What I wrote here, time to read A Journey Through Time to Claudia from Held. Oh, yeah. The book, the inscription on the inside of her copy of the book said to Claudia from Helgi.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
So, young Egon has heard, you know, one of the police officers comes running in and he's like, hey, Helgi's back. He's not dead.
His body.
Yeah. No, he's not dead. He's back. He's at his house. His mother said. So Egon goes there and he's like, I want to talk to him. She's like, he hasn't said a word, but go ahead and try. And he tries to talk to him and Helgi's just like, nope, ain't having none of this. You know, he's not obstinate about it, but he just isn't speaking. He's not speaking a word. His mom's even like, you know, he's speaking to you. You talk to him.
Right.
Nope, not happening. So then that juxtaposes with the 1987 version of Helgi, and Claudia gives him the book that was inscribed, you know, to Claudia from Helgi. Kind of talks to him, and he basically flips out on her a little bit and tells her not to ever trust Adam. Adam lied.
Yep.
Don't ever trust him. It was Noah.
Noah told
him that it's a struggle between good and evil. Travelers could undo it all, and if they're successful, nothing will ever happen. Never trust Noah.
And here's the thing. Have we seen Adam yet? We see him in episode 6, I think, for the first time.
Yes.
And he looks old as fuck.
Yes.
And his face is ragged.
Yes.
And he looks like a black guy to me.
He looks leathery.
Yes. Maybe that his skin is dark and leathery. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even his eyes are kind of, like, almost shut because he's got so much, like...
Well, I legit thought he was black.
Okay.
Until in episode 7, we realized...
Well, 4.
4, I mean. Why am I doing 6 and 7, my brain?
I don't know.
Until 4, we realized, oh, he's not.
Yeah. So, back to 1954, old Claudia is talking to Agnes. Agnes is actually getting a lot more play now.
Yeah.
And it's basically, she tells her that Helgi was sent back today, and Noah has returned, and she kind of tells her, she's like, gives her a newspaper article. She's like, give this to me. Make sure you give it to me. And she's like, what, today? And she's like, yes. Everything has to be set in motion. Yeah. Give this to me. And she basically tells her not to trust Noah. We end up finding out that Agnes and Noah are brothers, brother and sister.
And Agnes is married to someone else that was part of Noah's group.
Yes. And it's like, apparently Claudia was part of Adam's group, but now she's doing her own thing because Noah's like, she broke off. And, Agnes used to be part of the group too, because we see later she goes to Noah and she's like, I want back in the group. You know, tell Adam that I fulfilled my obligation.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're actually finding out that Agnes and her son are purposely there with Claudia's mother, Doris, and everything. and Egon to... She didn't find them happenstancely. She right. went there on purpose.
Yep. Because this is the grand design, if you will. 1987, Claudia brings the book to H.G. Tanos. He says they're meeting again. She's like, I've never met you before. He goes, well, no, but yes.
But the reason why he knows, and the reason why Egon is kind of when, because Egon meets up with old Claudia at one point as well.
Yep.
And I didn't notice this until he said it out loud. She has one brown eye and one blue eye.
I noticed that a couple episodes back.
Yeah. So she has that, whatever it's called, but she has one brown eye. And that's how Tana saw the younger Claudia and said, oh, I've met you. I met old you.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It's something chromia.
Yeah.
Hyperchromia or something like that.
Hemochromia or something like that.
So, yeah, she gives the book to him, says, you know, I think you wrote this. And he's like, well, we've already talked about this. She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I have to teach you how to use the machine. Why do you have to teach me how to use the machine? Because you told me that I need to teach you how to use the machine. She's like, so you built the machine so you understand it? He goes, no, somebody else came and taught me how to use it. But when you originally visited me, you told me that somebody was going to come teach me how to use the machine. And I didn't realize that until about a week ago, somebody came and taught me how to use the machine. So that now I can teach you how to use the machine, so that then she could become old Claudia who knows how to use the machine. Because it's awesome. So now we've got, again, 1987, we've got old man Egon, who wants to go back and talk to old man Ulrich. Because, you know, he's got the cancer, and he doesn't have a lot of time left, so he's going through and he's trying to, you know, resolve some issues. So he goes back to him, and he has an old heavy metal album. He's like, the day that we met, you quoted a line from this album to me. But this album didn't come out until, like, 1987 or something like that.
Well, last year.
Yeah. And
they're in 87.
Yeah, and Ulrich's just like, you know, up until this point, Ulrich's wanted to help him zero. Like, absolutely none. Yep. He's just like, go fuck yourself, old man. He doesn't even give him that satisfaction. He's just like, whatever. You know, I'm here. This is where I am. Until Egon... Oh, I'm sorry. That comes a little bit later on.
Well, I think what tipped him off when he was younger is old Claudia.
Yeah.
Had said something to him. And then young Claudia says the same thing to him.
Yes.
And he's like...
Yeah, that was, well, that was something different, because this was the Ulrich thing. And, yes, that could have been it, because, yeah, when old Claudia goes to see him, goes to see old Egon, she basically says, Dad, you're too good of a person, this world doesn't deserve you.
Yes, okay.
And then...
I just remembered now.
Young Egon is sitting with young Claudia.
Yeah.
And, no... She says it to young Egon,
yeah.
Because then young Egon goes home and he goes, I think I saw a witch today. And she goes, there are no witches. And he's like, yeah, she had the white hair like that. And he had noticed the humor chroma or whatever
it right. is.
And she's like, Dad, you're too good of a person. The world doesn't deserve you. And then he's just like, yeah.
So but it's Ulrich tells him his name at the asylum. He finally tells him, my name is Ulrich Nielsen. And that's
when he's leaving.
And that's when he remembers a year ago when... unknown boy showed up, told him that Ulrich Nielsen was his father, but he was already pressing charges on young Ulrich for rape,
right.
So he didn't believe him.
Yep.
But now it makes him go back and look at the...
Well, he talks to the nurse there,
yeah.
Who, and he basically asks her, and she's been doping him with some sleeping pills, you know, just to kind of help him relax, I guess.
Oh, well, because he's upset, yeah.
Yeah. But he takes a picture and he takes it back to old Ulrich, and says, do you recognize this boy? That snaps him.
Oh, Ulrich loses his mind.
And then he
yeah.
loses his fucking mind and he starts strangling him and he's like, I told you he was here. Where is he? Show me where he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you knew the whole time.
Yep. So, old Egon now knows that this Ulrich is a time traveler.
Yep.
And that he had knowledge of the future and that shit's going on.
And I think because of that, he remembers when Ulrich told him, don't worry, you'll be dead soon. Mm-hmm. So now he's like, shit. So that's when he goes and sees his daughter.
Yep.
One of the reasons why he goes and sees his daughter and tells her, I got cancer. I'm not going to be around much longer.
But she's too busy doing her own thing. You know, yeah. She's like, I now have this power of time travel and I have to do this stuff. So she's like, come back tomorrow. And he's like, I got cancer. It's prostate. It's spreading.
It's spread.
So they have a little hug.
Yes, that's when she hugs her dad. And
yep.
Yeah.
I really like the part, though, where, what's his name, Tannhaus was talking about the bootstrap paradox.
Yeah.
And he was explaining it to 1987 Claudia, and he's like, so this came back through time. Somebody from the future sent this back so that it could be in my hand. It was sent back to me before I wrote it, ensuring that it will be written. So it's like a chicken and egg kind of thing. So the book has to be written because it's already been written and sent back through time so that he could write it because it already exists. So he has to make it. Like, did it ever not exist? Because now it is its own creation.
Right.
And we see two different versions of the book with two different covers.
And here's the thing that this show, I'm not going to say takes liberties, but it does things that other time travel stuff hasn't done.
Yes.
You know, where it's like,
versions of people meeting themselves,
right.
Bootstrap paradoxes, all this kind of stuff.
Now, we have yet to talk about 87 Claudia going to 2020 to see her daughter who has cancer.
Right, which is definitely coming up.
Okay.
We back in 1953 or 54, we have Agnes at Noah's church.
Yeah.
And she basically says that Adam will never... He says Adam will never take her back. She's chosen her side. She says, I know where the last pages are.
Yeah, okay.
Claudia has them. And she basically gives the newspaper article that she was supposed to give to young Claudia, she gives that to Noah. And then Noah looks at it. We're not allowed to see it until the very end of the episode.
Right.
But basically, suddenly he's like, well, I'll talk to Adam. I'll see what I can do. And so... Then we have the old Ulrich and old Egon with a picture of Nickel. Now young Tannhaus is visited by old Claudia. She says it'll be 44 years before the device works and gives him a different copy of his own book, the one that came from the future that now he has to write. This is when 1987 Claudia goes down to the tunnels, activates the device, goes into the future, sees her daughter has cancer and is heartbroken about it. But, you know, what are you going to do? Old Claudia goes out to the cabin, you know, where the bunker is. And Noah meets her there, says that Agnes betrayed her. He shoots her. She dies. We finally see the newspaper clipping. It says, unidentified woman's body found in the woods. And he takes the final pages off her and starts thumbing through them and he's going, no, 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 this can't be true, no. So now...
He specifically says, not Charlotte.
Yeah. So he's now shaken. In fact, it seems like his faith in Adam is now shaken. We finally get to see Adam for the first time. He's spouting some rhetoric to us, you know, no matter how much we fight it, we're bound by blood. He talks about how family is everything. But Noah tells him, no, she didn't have the pages on her.
Yeah.
And he's keeping them from...
He lies to Adam about that, yeah.
Yep. So now we come in episode 4, The Travelers.
And what's interesting is, like, in episode 3, we didn't see at all what happened to Jonas.
Right.
In episode 4, it jumps right up that he is in, as it turns out, 1921.
Another 33-year discrepancy.
He buries his suit when he gets there.
He's still got the raw, bloody mark on his neck from where he was hung.
Yep, and of course, now we know why that's his... The stranger had that scar on his neck. It's from when Jonas was hung.
Yep.
We also, if you think back, we see the stranger, I don't know if it's this episode or previous one, with his shirt off, and he's just covered in scars.
I just call him old Jonas now.
Okay, so young Jonas has got a tough road ahead of him to get all those scars he's covered in.
I said the same thing, because, he takes the shirt off, and he's walking, and I'm like, oh, like, he's fucked.
Yeah. So he's in Winden 1921, and he's injured, and there's some people hay in a field, and they bring, and they think he is a refugee from World War One.
Yeah.
Essentially, or the Great War, as they called
it. Yeah, they thought he was in one of those work camps that was set up, and they escaped.
And so they take him to the town. This woman basically is like, she's a sucker for lost dogs.
Yep.
And she does take him in.
And on the front step, we meet young Agnes.
Yep.
Because one of these guys is Noah.
Yeah. Right. because Noah apparently has never aged.
Yep.
It's just kind of crazy how that is.
Yep.
So he meets up and he sees Noah and Agnes. And then he goes to where the portal is and he starts climbing through and he finds the doors and then he finds a dead end because they're not done digging it yet. Mm-hmm. And I love this when he goes back out and there's young Noah and he goes, yeah, it's not ready yet. It won't be ready for another like 33 years.
Yep.
And Joe's like, no, that can't be. Yeah. But hey, they want to meet you. Who? The travelers. Yep. They want to meet you. Because while
he had told him when he first met him back in the hotel, he was like, yeah, I thought you'd be different.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I've known that I was going to meet you for a while now, but yeah.
Well, they see that motto that they repeat over and over and over again. He sees it at the hotel because in the room he's in, because he sleeps for 24 hours, but in the room he's in, on the wall is basically the tattoo that we see on Noah's back. And then the other guy's chest that Noah killed.
Yep.
I don't know where you want to go next. I don't want to give it away.
Back in the, or I guess the modern time for
2020.
Us.
2020. It's 2020, yeah.
You've got Martha dreaming of schtupping Jonas. And him saying, you know, we're perfect for each other. At first I thought it was him dreaming it, because I think he dreamed that once before.
Yeah.
And no, it was her. Honestly, this whole subplot with the kids was the weakest part for me. They basically decide that they're going to go down to the tunnels and look for Mom.
Yes.
You know, Mom hasn't been around, and we should go look for her, because Katarina's gone crazy. You know, she's looking for her husband, she's looking for her son, they've all disappeared down around there, so let's go look for her. So, Martha and her brother and the two Tiedemann girls decide that they're all going to go down there and look.
The only thing they come across is Bartow.
Yeah, and they proceed to just beat the fucking shit out of him.
Why are they pissing him off?
They beat the shit out of him, they tie him up, they take his bag and leave him there.
Which had the time machine in it.
Yep.
And ditch him.
Yep. Leave him right there in the tunnel. That was kind of messed up.
Yeah. But yeah, like you're saying, in 2020, like, Jonas and Hannah, Jonas and Hannah meet Charlotte and Peter at the bunker.
Yes, old Jonas.
Yes, old Jonas. Or middle-aged Jonas, whatever you want to call
him. Sure.
Because Charlotte and Peter, basically, they want to show...
Peter showed Charlotte
the
bunker with all the lines.
And the time travel, and the evidence of time travel, and the pictures of, like, Noah through the years, and this and that. And I'm trying to... And Hannah basically tells Charlotte, like, Hannah's like, I'm not going to keep your secret. This is Jonas. And so when Charlotte comes over, she calls Charlotte to come over here. It's like, this is Jonas.
Yeah. Yeah, she just outs him right there. She's like, this is Jonas from the future.
And so Charlotte's like, you guys need to come with me.
Yeah.
And they go to the bunker, and this is when they see they figure, okay, Mads is Michael. Because she tells, Noah tells, them that. And then they see the picture of, like, Ulrich from the photo from the newspaper showing that's where he is. Yep. And then, like, we need to tell Katarina this. Okay, so they go. So Charlotte goes and picks her up. It's like, you need to come with me. What's going on? I can't tell you anything.
I have to show you.
I have to show you. You need to see it. I know where Ulrich and Mads are. Where are they?
Mikkel.
Mikkel.
Mads was Ulrich's brother.
Yeah, that's right. No, I have to show you. So they finally, she gets them to the bunker, and Katarina doesn't believe them. She's like,
not at all. She's like, you guys are insane.
Even when Jonas is like, yeah, I'm Jonas. I'm your grandson.
Yeah.
What? Well, and she just doesn't believe them. You know, Mikkel is Michael. He's my father.
And her husband.
Yeah, and her husband.
Yeah, the woman who's been stripping your husband.
Yeah, and so she just flat out doesn't believe it.
I thought she was going to cold cock Hannah.
I did too.
Hannah, like, tried to reason with her, and I thought she was just going to lay her right out.
Well, you got to give Katarina credit, because after when she leaves them in a huff, she drives right to the fucking school and goes back through the records and finds the class photo from 87, and it shows that Michael was Michael, and there he is, and that's him.
Yep.
And then she breaks down.
Because now it's all true.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Yep. Claudia's doing some weird stuff. She shows up in 2019. She goes to the plant. Yeah. It's got the big security gates and everything, and she's like, Claudia Tiedemann? Or, and they're like, yeah, there's only one Tiedemann here, that's Alexander, and he runs the place. Oh, she was looking for Regina. For
Regina,
dog.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, Alexander runs this place. She's like, really? And then we go right to Alexander, who's being interviewed by the cops, because since Charlotte called in sick...
The new investigator, yeah.
Yes, the new investigator has been hanging out with Wallen or whatever.
Yeah.
And, so now Alexander's being interviewed by them, and the guy's asking all the right questions. You know, he's like, there's doors down there. You know, they were put in the 80s. You don't find that suspicious? He's like, I don't know. It's not my business. He goes, why'd you take your wife's name?
Yes, that's one thing he's hung up on. Why would you take your wife's name?
And he says... Their family basically built this town. It was an honor to take their name.
Yeah.
Well, what was your name before that? And he gives...
Kohler.
Yeah. So, he knows that they're looking into him.
We do get a little bit of 2053.
Yep.
And it's just...
very little.
Yeah. Celia leaving the dead zone, and Elizabeth, you know, like, gets her at gunpoint. And Celia's like, look, they argue, and she's like... What was up with Noah, or Jonas? You're clearly full of shit. You're hiding stuff from us. I saw what was in there. What is it? And finally, Elizabeth admits that she knows about the God particle.
She says, they told us it was a piece of God, but it's really from the devil.
Yeah.
Old Jonas is telling them down in the bunker that Noah... No,
yeah.
Adam told him that there would be a loophole.
Yes.
And that this would be the final... Whatever they keep saying. The final sequence.
Yeah.
And so there's a loophole to get out of this so that it could be shut down permanently and forever. Back in time with young Noah.
1921.
Yep. Young Noah takes young Jonas to the church. He says they want to meet you, like you had said earlier.
Yeah.
He gets there and there's older Noah.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you've already met me.
Yes. And that's the thing, is they know that they're the same person.
Yeah. He's like, you're probably a little surprised to see me here. Well, guess what? You've already met me. And Claudia went back through to 1987, by the way, after looking up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, she went to the library, which was funny, because she's like, where's the keyboard? There's no keyboards. And she's like...
Oh, even before that,
she wanted, screen.
She wanted, the microfiche and stuff. Yeah. She's like, where are the newspapers? They're like, that's all digital. What does that mean?
It reminds me of, 3 or 4 years ago, I went to the Maine State Library to look something up, and I'm looking around for the card catalog, and I can't find it anywhere. I can't find it. It wasn't even the Maine State Library. It was the friggin' Gardner Public Library with the kids. And I'm trying to find who wrote Encyclopedia Brown, and I don't have my phone on me, because I left it in the van. And I'm like, where the hell is the card catalog? So I go to the because I'm at a library.
Right.
I go to the library. Hey, where's the card catalog anymore? And she just looks at me and goes, we have computers. I'm like, great, where's the card catalog? It's the computer. I went, I feel super stupid right now.
You should have looked at her and go, I still have a VCR. Damn it.
And because the Maine State Library still has card catalogs.
Oh, do they?
They have computers as well, but the card catalogs are against the back wall, so you can still, and it's for the microfiche, but it's the same thing. So it was just...
Nice.
Like, dude, I don't even know if they have the Dewey Decimal System anymore. Actively at the library.
I don't know either.
Man, that library skills class was a waste of time, apparently.
So old Noah tells his younger self that Jonas is going on his way so that the last cycle can begin.
Yeah.
Adam introduces himself to Jonas and says that, you know, I look like this because traveling leaves its marks on everybody.
Yep.
And then basically says, you know who I am. And he undoes his collar and he's got the scar across his neck and he's like, I'm you.
Yeah.
You and me.
Adam is Jonas.
Yeah. So I guess I can't call that old Jonas anymore because Adam is now old Jonas.
He's middle-aged Jonas.
Yeah. Sexy Jonas.
Because Adam's still Adam.
Yeah.
Technically.
Adam is Adam. He took the name because...
No. This is a... I'm glad we watched 2 episodes and not one.
Yes.
This is a great series. We've only got 4 episodes left in season 2, 8 episodes in season 3. And I'm not going to lie... There's a part of me that just wants to, watch the rest of season 2 this week, but I'm going to hold off, watch 2, and then 2 after, you know, to spread it out and everything. But I really want to see where the show is going. I really want to see where the show is going to end. I'm a really big fan of it. So, yeah, it's actually very, very exciting.
It's funny because it wasn't a hard sell in the beginning. I had heard so much good about it, but it was a slow start. This was a very slow start.
But it has really picked up now.
Yes. So I highly, highly recommend it. I mean, obviously, if people are listening to this, then they're getting all the rundown from us anyway. But
right. So I guess, yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. Let's talk about Warrior Nun real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't say I was all superly excited about this episode.
Jesus, this was annoying. Basically watching what was their name and Uzi Dunk fighting each other constantly to try to take Ava in.
I know it's...
I'd say like Mary and Shannon.
Shotgun Mary.
Yep. Shannon's the one that died. Yep. So Lilith?
Sure, yes.
Lilith and Mary.
Yeah.
Constantly. Lilith wants to kill Ava and carve... She literally starts to carve the halo out of her back.
Yeah.
With one of those Divinium knives. And Mary wants to save her. So half of this episode is just Ava and her boyfriend on a boat. They're on a boat. And, yeah, I wasn't that into this episode.
Yeah, either was I. I mean, some of the fight scenes were really good, but it just, yeah. And ultimately at the end, Lilith, because Ava uses her powers... Because she kind of has to, because Lilith is trying to carve the halo out. Demon appears.
The big bad.
The big bad demon appears, and, you know, he kills Lilith.
Yeah, because she jumps in front of Ava. Like, yeah. At the last minute, she suddenly decided to sacrifice herself.
And gets speared, and then tells Ava to pick up the sword.
Yeah.
And Ava does slash the demon, who then goes back to hell with Lilith, who was still alive. So actually, Lilith went to hell alive.
Yep.
But she was impaled.
Yeah.
And
so she's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, probably. And essentially, Shotgun Mary is going to take Ava back to the. And it was decent, but they didn't tell a lot of story in this.
Again, they're spending too much time with Ava and her boyfriend.
Yeah. So that was episode 5, was it not?
Yep.
Yeah. So we're halfway done.
Yep.
I am going to keep watching it. I'm not completely unexcited about it, but
don't blame you.
Yeah. We're going to talk about
that excited.
We're going to talk about next.
I will say once again, Doom Patrol is friggin' awesome.
Nice.
I watched like 2 more episodes this week. This most recent one's called Dumb Patrol, and it was great. I will say that I have now seen that Crazy Jane is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
We've gotten a lot more of her different personalities. You actually, I can't remember if it's in the first season or not, but you actually go into the underground a few times and meet, like, they have different actresses who play the actual personalities. Like, Hammerhead is a woman with a shaved head. And,
yeah.
Like, they actually have different, and her personalities can be killed.
Which is interesting.
It's very interesting. There's some danger. But yeah, I'm really digging this show. I did finish out second season of Harley Quinn. Left it on a big cliffhanger. But in true Harley Quinn fashion, it was based on some really ridiculous over-the-top stuff. So, yeah.
I did finish the complete series of the 2005 or 2006 Night Stalker.
Oh, yeah.
The Frank Spondence one. I did finish the 10 episodes. They were really, really good. I really enjoyed the show. It kind of annoyed me that we only got 10 episodes. Especially now they're kind of just getting into the meat and potatoes of the backstory, the mythology, if you will.
Yep.
Frank Spondence did do commentary on the second to last episode, I think it was, or the third to last. He did a commentary track on it where he talks about where the show was going to go and what was going to happen. So you do kind of get, if you listen to the commentary, or you can go and read it online, different places, but you kind of do get like, all right, so these 4 motorcyclists, they're the force of the apocalypse, you know, this mark meant this. And so he does kind of sum up, this is where we were headed. This is the direction we were going. And if you put the second disc in your DVD-ROM, in your computer for your DVD-ROM, that has the scripts for the undone, for the episodes that weren't done. Actually read the scripts for the incomplete episodes that they'd already written. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool. Now I just have to find a DVD-ROM.
I know, right?
Oh. Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
Hannibal?
Sure. Let's chat about the Hannibal.
Now, you sent me a message early on in the week that said, Hannibal, holy crap.
Yep.
But there are two episodes, so I was like waiting the whole time, like, did he mean it for that? Did he mean it for that? So walk me through, like, what led to that?
What led to the holy crap?
Yes, because there were a few holy crap moments.
Well, I'm trying to think if I was... Okay, so it was...
All you said was Hannibal, holy crap.
Well, it was last week.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. Let's see here. We were on... episodes... What did we watch, 5 and 6?
Well, two. We would have done 1, 2, 3, then 4 and 5. Okay. So
six
this
and
is
seven.
6 and 7.
All right. So, oh, Miriam Lass. That's what it was. At the end of episode 6, Miriam Lass, and we find Anna Chlumsky still alive.
Yes.
That was the Hannibal, holy crap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fucking huge.
I didn't know if it was that.
Or the end of episode 7.
The end of episode 7.
Miriam Lass shoots the other doctor.
Yep.
In the face.
Eddie Izzard getting fed his own leg.
And...
Enjoying it. My compliments to the chef.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, your spine is broken. You're never going to walk again.
Yeah.
They're useless. Enjoy it.
Yeah. No, so...
So, yeah, let's...
So, episode 6, Crawford goes to Graham about, you know, telling the guy to kill Lecter. And, so Graham denies it to Crawford. Doesn't deny it later on to others.
Nope.
Denies it to Crawford, and, you know, basically is like, you know, Lecter's the Chesapeake Ripper. And he tries to explain it to him. You know, because the way he explains it is, the Chesapeake Ripper only kills in 3 or 4, right around the same time when Lecter has a big dinner party for everyone.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Lecter's been feeding us his victims. And we've been eating them gleefully.
Yeah.
So then we see basically this whole episode that Lecter's having a dinner party. And so he's going through his Rolodex and killing people and making food out of them.
Yep.
So that was interesting as fuck.
Yeah. Chilton and Crawford both suspect him because Graham has basically said, you know, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And Jack, to his credit, is starting to come around on it. You know, he's starting to get a little suspicious because it does kind of add up. And Chilton, of course, just hates Hannibal at this point. But they're doing the upper class, dignified, like, oh, I hate him, but I'll pretend to like him and blah, blah, blah. So they both show up at the dinner party, but neither one of them wants to eat anything.
Right.
And
Chilton's just like, yeah, that's why I only eat salad
when
I'm at his house.
And then Jack is like, oh, I got to run. And Hannibal's like, oh, that's too bad. He goes, let me take some stuff to go. He goes, I'll have the staff prepare you a plate. He goes, no, I'll just take these pieces right here.
Yeah.
Can somebody just go? Because he wants to get them tested. And sure enough, of course, Hannibal's careful.
Yeah.
So the test shows just Wagyu beef and pig and, yeah.
Yep.
But Graham, Will's not stupid.
Right.
Although I was kind of mad that Bloom has basically written him off.
Yeah.
You know, she was civil about the dogs and everything.
Now she's sleeping with Hannibal. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the one that when she confronts Graham about having that orderly kill Hannibal, he doesn't deny it to her.
Nope. And she says, I can never forgive you for that because, yeah, now she's sleeping with Hannibal and he actually uses her as an alibi. He drugs her, wipes her lipstick and all the resin off the glass, goes out, murders, and then comes back and they're like, where were you last night? He's like, I was here all night. Well, can anybody back that up? Bloom comes out. She's like, I can.
Well, that's when he went and kidnapped Gideon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Chilton recorded Gideon saying that he was, in fact, in Hannibal's home and this and that. And then when Crawford questions Gideon, he denies it, that he ever said it. Then Gideon gets beat up by a pair of guards and is in the infirmary, and is basically that's where he got his back broken.
Yep.
And so he's transported to the hospital, and that's when Lecter drugs
I think he must have drugged Bloom.
He did, because he went around and wiped off the glass and poured out the liquid to make sure that...
And then he goes and kidnaps Gideon, comes back and gets in bed. I mean, it's just, and then serves Gideon his langtum as his last meal.
Yeah, and that's what Gideon said. And it was so elaborate. It was thigh that was wrapped in a palm leaf and then clay pressed all around it and baked in the oven so that the clay hardened. And he had to, like, break the clay off and peel it back and had it all... And he's like, is this some kind of sick thing? My last meal is supposed to be my own leg? And that's when he was like, well, you're not using it.
So like you said, when they tested the food, they didn't find any residue of human in it. But they've got a bunch of fly fishing lures that all had, you know, materials from the judge and all the other victims. And finally, Crawford and the team realized there was no copycat killer and that the Chesapeake Ripper is responsible for all the deaths. And he was just fucking with him, toying with him, whatever you want to say.
So they finally let Will out.
Yep. And then they find this piece of rare tree bark.
In a victim who was grown inside of a tree,
yes.
Was planted in a parking lot. This is where, for me, like, we've each got our own things. This is where, for me, you have to suspend too much disbelief.
Yes, you do.
This was in the middle of a parking lot that this tree was planted in the ground.
Right.
With a guy growing out of it. Like, the sheer amount of time that it would have taken to break through the pavement and then put that tree in there, somebody would have noticed. Somebody driving by would have been like, what's going on there?
That seems peculiar.
But every part of his body had a different flower growing in place of it. Like, his heart was this, and his lungs were this.
Not his body, but his organs.
Yes. Yes.
But they track this rare tree bark to a farmhouse, and when they find the abandoned farmhouse in, like, a basement of the barn or some shit, they find Miriam last alive.
Yep.
That leads us to episode 7, and along the shore, but she has no memory of, she can't identify the Ripper. Even when she sees Lecter, she can't identify him, and she doesn't remember even meeting up with him at all.
Right.
She only has brief memories of her whole captivity. She doesn't remember making the phone call to Crawford.
Right.
You know, and... Yeah. So, all the evidence they gathered up proves that Will's alleged victims, like you said, were the Ripper, so he's exonerated, he gets kicked loose from the asylum. He wants Graham. Chilton wants Graham to come forward and say that Lecter may put all this stuff in your brain, and he's willing to do that by confessing his own treatment of Abel Gideon and kind of implanting that he was the Chesapeake Ripper. So he's willing to kind of
throw himself under the bus.
Thank you. Throw himself under the bus just to prove what Lecter did.
Yeah.
And
so he has to be stopped.
Right. So, but Graham, like you said, discovers when he goes to get his dogs from Bloom that she's with Lecter.
Yep. Damn her.
Right. Graham goes and visits Miriam. Talks about some of the things he's experienced, the using of blackout lights, et cetera, that Miriam also experienced with her captor. He goes to see Lecter with a gun, but then wants him to be his doctor again?
Yeah. So you know it's the long game.
Yes, exactly.
They take Miriam to Lecter to have her memories regressed.
Yes.
And she's fine with it because, you know, she's already heard his voice and seen him and said, nope, that's not him.
They find drugs in Miriam's blood tests that both were in Graham and Gideon's treatments.
Yep.
Basically, the other thing, too, is Graham's like, whatever evidence you find is going to point away from the Ripper.
Yes. He said, you're going to
point you to somebody else.
That is going to point you away.
And essentially, the evidence, it says, well, this could be Chilton or it could be Lecter. Mm-hmm. And essentially, when it comes down to it, it seems to become more and more and more that it's Chilton. And then, for whatever reason, Miriam is now convinced that Chilton is the one that kidnapped her and... The memory flashes you see of her where it's Lecter. It's kind of cool. They slowly merge Lecter into Chilton. And then she positively identifies Chilton as the Ripper and as her kidnapper or whatever. Chilton goes on the run because he's running from Lecter.
Well, everything that was set up in his house was absolutely insane. And again, the amount of effort that was put in.
Yes, that's right. I skipped over that.
Yeah. So he goes home to kind of like put his stuff together and he hears a beeping. And he opens up one of his rooms downstairs and finds an entire hospital room, essentially.
Yeah.
Gideon's in there and he's just died. Like, it was a beep, beep, yeah. beep.
And his body's, his arms are cut off, his legs are cut off. There's, like, a bandsaw and there's, like, packaged meat. It makes it look like that Chilton has been doing what Hannibal's doing.
Yep.
And so he goes on the run.
Well, he tries to, but as soon as he gets upstairs, the FBI's at his door, and yeah. Hannibal's in there. And he's wearing his plastic suit, and he's like, oh, that'll be the FBI. You can try to run if you want. And he drugs him. And then you see him walk over to the door like he's going to answer it for the FBI.
Well, no, he says, your only hope is to run.
Yeah. But then he drugs him. Yeah. And we find out later that he did answer the door for the FBI.
Yeah. When Chilton wakes up, the two FBI agents are dead.
Yep. That's when he goes
on the run. That's when he goes on the run, and he goes to Graham to talk to Graham, and Graham calls Crawford. So they arrest Chilton.
Yep.
And when he's being questioned, that's when, I messed up a little bit. When he's being questioned behind the glass, that's when Miriam's like, oh my God, that's him. That's the guy that kidnapped me, and she grabs Crawford's gun and shoots.
Will's gun.
She was hugging Crawford, I thought.
Nope.
Will doesn't have a gun.
I thought it was Will out there with
him. No, it's Crawford's gun.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
I bet if we watched it again, it would be Will's.
And it literally says right here, she takes Crawford's gun and shoots Chilton in the face.
Wow. Damn. I really thought it was Will.
She hugged Crawford.
Yeah.
Because Will's not, I didn't think Will
Will's
was there.
Will's not a hugger.
Yeah. And then Graham, that's when Graham wants to start his therapy again. And like you said, they're going to play the long game.
Yep.
I'm enjoying the hell out of the show.
I am too.
We've got a couple more episodes this season to watch.
Well, 6 and 7. So
yeah,
we've
8,
got
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We have 5 more episodes.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't be an odd number. Because we did 3. We did 1, 2, and 3, then 4, 5, 6, 7.
12, 13. 13.
Yeah.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, 6 episodes.
Yeah. So that's 3 more weeks for this season.
Yep. And then we got 13 episodes for the last season.
Yep. Which we'll probably do again 3, then 2, 2, 2, 2.
Let's mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
We'll be kind of dark, 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 kind of. Let's talk about bit players.
Bit players?
Bit players. Like we said, this one's an episode was Shopping Day.
They sold me right in the beginning when they had, like, a video game screen.
Yes.
And it was the two guys, and it was like, next level, or level 2, Shopping Day. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Love it.
It was only 10 minutes long, but it felt longer.
It did.
But it was done well.
It was great.
And I like, they open it up and they're going shopping because...
It's comic book day.
Well, yeah, it's not, well, that's right, it's new comic book day, which, you know, that's...
Which we even get, like, comic book panels telling the story very quickly. It was a little hard to read at first, but... Yeah, they're basically saying that, you know, the guys can't wait to get their new comics, so they're heading to the comic store.
And Ahmed, you know, he's like, I got a bunch of money burned a hole in my pocket. And Nigel's like, not Nigel, sorry, Leon's like, well, you know, you owe me for rent.
You owe me for $600.
You could give that money to me. Well, okay, I got a lot of money burning my hole in my pocket that I don't want to give to you, and I just want to spend.
He's like, I don't have that kind of money right now.
Yeah. He wants to buy a, it's like a knockoff of Black Panther.
It's, oh, what is it called? Shoot, I tried to remember it. It's Brother Cat.
Brother Cat.
Brother Cat.
Yeah, he wants that Brother Cat shirt.
He doesn't want to buy it. He wants to wear it, but he knows he can't.
Yeah, well, no.
And Leon keeps asking him, why can't you wear it?
He's convinced he can't because cultural appropriation.
Right, and he's trying to be woke.
Yeah.
Oh, you're being woke? Yes, that's it. I'm being woke.
But everyone else is like, of course you can wear that shirt.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you can't wear that shirt.
And they find a little, like, what, 12-year-old white kid?
12, 13-year-old white kid wearing a Brother Cat shirt. Because he's a comic. It's like saying, I can't wear a Luke Cage Hero for Hire shirt.
Or Black Panther.
Or Black Panther, yeah.
And so they end up getting into a fight over this and ripping the kid's shirt off.
Yeah, because Ahmed's on one side, Leon's on the other, and they're doing that pulling back and forth thing. Yep. I'm like, well, I know where this is going.
Yep.
And Ahmed's, like, just, like, screaming, like, you can't wear this. This man's offended. No, I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, you know, like, this is cultural appropriation. I don't think you know what that means. Like, you know, it's just, it was hilarious.
Yep.
And like you said, they rip the kid's shirt off and then awkward silence. And the kid's quiet the whole time.
Yeah. He never says a word.
Yeah. And then they flee, basically.
Yeah. And go right to the comic book store.
And they get to the comic, and I think clearly Leon has a crush on the clerk behind the counter who doesn't even acknowledge his existence practically.
But she's all about Ahmed.
Oh, yeah.
She's all over him.
And he's like looking at that brother cashier.
Odyssey 2. The Odyssey 2 system.
And I love that. Well, is that an Odyssey 2? Yeah. Does that work? Of course not. Ooh, what do I want?
Like, does that have both controllers? She's like, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Both right there. Does it work? Of course not.
Yeah.
Oh, I really want that. But then he sees the brother cat shirt. He's like, but I can't wear it. She's like, of course you can wear it.
And then I can't. Don't you understand? No, I don't understand. You can absolutely wear that.
And then he gets the little angel with the pixel wings of Leon on his shoulder. And he's like, the responsible thing to do would be to buy a replacement shirt for that little boy who you ripped the shirt off of and destroyed it. He's like, yeah, I'll take the Odyssey system.
I'll take the, yeah. Good choice. And she gets it for him. And it's good.
Yeah.
And then they buy it, and they leave.
Now it's time for food.
Right. And Leon goes to this Jamaican place, and he's got a backpack with a Jamaican flag on it. So, of course, the gentleman working there has very heavy Jamaican accent.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was. Oh, but I can understand him. And he's basically like, oh, you're going to go to the, I don't know if it was reggae festival or Jamaican festival, whatever
this
it was.
Where subtitles were great.
Yes, absolutely. And I was like, I'm kind of thinking about it, but I don't know. And then by the end, he's talking with like a Jamaican accent, and it's, I like it when he goes, do you want medium, mild, or hot? I'll take mild. Medium it is!
Yeah. You know. Meanwhile, Ahmed goes and gets his bibimbap, mm-hmm. because that's all he wanted, and he's like kind of dancing down the sidewalk, and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I love this. He goes to walk on one part of the sidewalk, and this white guy reaches out and grabs the bag from him. He's like, what do you know? This is my bibimbap. And he goes, but, oh. And he sees another guy.
Another Indian guy, yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute. Did you think that I was your Indian food delivery guy? And he's like,
yeah.
Oh, thank you. I've been worrying about my cultural heritage, and you just reinforced that with your stereotypes. Thank you for being a shitty person. And he's like, you're welcome.
They meet back up, and they're heading home. They eat.
They have a great meal and a nice conversation afterwards.
And, and then they're heading home, and then all of a sudden, on the top of the slide is they see the kid. But now he's painted on the brother cat chain, and he's got, like, painted on his face, and he's got a weapon or whatever, and he's like, this kid hasn't learned! You know, like, what are you doing? My friend is very offended! Again, I'm not. And then, like, the kid snaps his fingers, and all these other kids show up in superhero costumes.
Yep.
And I love the kid slides, and this is one of those 50-year-old metal slides, you know. Slides down the slide, and then they all approach Ahmed, and Leon just takes off running.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, not my fight.
Yeah, and then the end scene is all the kids, you know,
beating on him, and it's like a comic freeze frame. And
yeah. It was
good. Continue.
Great episode, great 10 minutes, a lot of great humor. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And very, like, I like the message in there, because it is actually a big thing, you know, with cultural appropriation. I remember when Black Panther came out, and they were like, they were talking over and over again about how it was so popular, but it was especially popular with black people. They never had this kind of superhero representation, that it took place in Africa.
Yeah.
So I know that there was conversation about it then. Like, are we, like, how much can we like it? Can we like it as it is, or is there different? So, yeah, I really like this.
And
I
love
the Odyssey, too.
But it wasn't over the top and annoying.
Right.
It wasn't beat to death to annoying, and like, when, even though Ahmed was being kind of ridiculous with his cultural appropriation, and Leon's just like, no, it's not. And everyone's like, no, it's not. It didn't annoy you until you're like, I don't want to watch this.
Which is, that's the other thing, is that happens a lot these days. You've got people who are out there in the streets, up in arms, outraged for groups that they don't belong to.
Right.
You know? Lesbians need to have rights and blah, blah, blah. Well, are you a lesbian? No. Are you gay? No. So you're just out here fighting for them? Yes. I mean, I applaud you for that, but have you talked to them? Have you, like, is this really what they want? You know, in this case, Leon was like, I'm not offended.
Right.
It's a great comic book, and more people should show support for it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I don't know. As a wrestling fan growing up, I didn't like or dislike a wrestler based on anything about them other than essentially how their character acted and how, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some bad guys that act bad, I'm like, I like them, they're cool. And there's bad guys that act bad, and I'm like, fucking hate you.
Yep.
Same thing with good guys.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a good guy, but you're a slime ball.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have some wrestlers who are like, why can't the fans cheer for the good guys and boo the bad guys? No, I'm going to cheer for who I want and boo for them.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, what side of the ring they're on or what side of the good-bad battle they're on. So, yeah, I still like bit players a lot. I'm looking forward to watching the next episode.
Me too.
Let's keep the short episodes a little bit. You want to talk about Transformers?
Yes.
Or then meets the yard.
So we got the cliffhanger at the end of the last one with Ultra Magnus showing up.
Yes.
And it was legit. He wasn't turning traitor. He was basically, he's an old soldier, which we've learned in the Transformers movie.
Yes.
You know, that he is an old soldier. And he basically sits down with Megatron and he's like, look, you saved my life. And Megatron's like, you saved my life.
They call each other brother even.
Yeah. Yep. They fought in a battle together and they came out of it together. And he's like, can't we just stop this? I just really want to stop this fighting. Nobody's going to win if we keep doing this. And Megatron's like, nope. I appreciate it, but I've got an ideal and I'm going to see it through to the end. And basically tells them to throw him in the most luxurious prison cell that they have.
Yep.
Then the stupidity started.
Yeah.
So this was, like, this was 80s. My dad used to call it the dumb animal. You know, like the Richie Rich cartoon had Dollar the dog.
Sure.
Who constantly got all of them in trouble because he was just the stupid animal. This was right up there with that. So basically, Ultra Magnus, here's what their plan is. They're looking for the Allspark.
Yeah.
So that they can reprogram all the Autobots. Wipe them clean and reprogram them to see the Decepticons' point of view. And he gets a coded transmission out, and says, basically, Prime, they're looking for the Allspark. This is it. Well, Soundwave picks up that transmission because that's what Soundwave does.
That's a job.
Yeah. And Megatron decides, well, let's use that against them. They set a trap and then send out another coded message in Ultra Magnus' voice saying, I found the coordinates of the Allspark.
And, of course, they fall for it.
He's a prisoner.
Right.
He just found out that they're looking for the Allspark, and now he's like, I found the coordinates.
But
Here they are.
He doesn't tell them he's a prisoner.
No.
So that's one way they could believe him. But at the same time, he didn't tell them that he was going there. So there's some doubts to where his loyalty lies with them, but they just blindly, oh, I see. He went there without talking to us about it to, you know, infiltrate them and give us info.
Yeah.
You would think they would have worked that out in advance type of thing. But regardless, they fall for it.
Oh, they sure do. Oh, they sure do. And, they even say to Prime, they're like, this is a trap. This is a complete trap. We are walking into a trap. And he's like, no, I trust Ultra Magnus with my life.
And they're even like, we can't waste all our energy on this. We need to, like, we're all dying.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's worth it to find the Allspark.
So they go to the trap. They find a super compressed energon cube.
Yeah.
And then get shot, and they start getting taken apart, and there's a big battle, and they end up surviving it, going back, but, you know, they go back without the
energon cube, but the Decepticons can't find it either, because Bumblebee has it.
Yeah, because he's a little scavenger.
Yep. I mean, you're right, I enjoyed parts of the episode, but
it was not enough for me to dislike the episode.
Correct. Just,
that part really kind of like, oh, really, guys?
It's kind of an eye roller cringer. Type of thing.
Cringer was another one. Oh my god.
I'm starting. What'd you think of the Muppets this week?
Fucking loved it.
I did too. Absolutely loved it.
Honestly, the one thing that keeps standing out, I mean, I love the when Linda Cardellini comes on the Piggy show.
Yes, I like that she's a guest every week.
Yes, and everyone loves Linda Cardellini and Piggy's insanely jealous. Yeah. I liked watching Piggy try to do hot yoga. That was funny.
Yeah.
But the best part of the entire show, hands down, was the cooking part.
Oh, my God.
With Danny Trejo making mole chicken tacos and the Swedish chef. I mean, the Swedish chef was a belligerent piece of shit, and I loved it. Like, the host is like, oh, you got to be careful. Those are really hot peppers. And he's like, ooh. And she's like, you might want to wear some gloves. And he's like, he puts them on all of his fingers.
Like,
she's like,
ooh. Like they're Bugles.
And he's like, and then, like, his fingers start turning red.
Yeah. And then, like, he's like, and he, like, touches his face and his eye. Now that's all turning red, and they get him some milk. It was, yeah.
But meanwhile, Danny Trejo is just cooking up a storm, and he's like, yeah, my mom used to make these, and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, he made a delicious-looking taco.
Yeah, he did.
Holy crap.
And then the Street of Chefs mole taco.
It was a mole.
It was a mole that he wrapped a giant tortilla around and then rubbed sour cream all over his stomach and on his head.
And the mole's just like, oh, this is great.
And then he put, like, one of the peppers on his head like it's a sundae. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, my God, it was so good. And the B story in there was that Fozzie was trying to pitch some ideas to Scooter.
Yeah,
and he kept doing it through, like, you know, chat messages or emails or showing up at his house at the end.
And we're seeing, but we see Fozzie through the doorbell camera.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I really, where's Waldo from Statler, though?
I know, right?
Yeah.
We haven't seen them yet.
This is the best Muppet TV series that we've had since the original Muppet Show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, quick little sketches, and they do it topical to today.
Yes.
You know, Scooter is uploading the sketches as he goes along. He's got the cluttered desktop. And
I like the cooking with the Swedish chef better than the Piggy Pigsty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
But I still like them both.
I like them both, yeah. I know, it's been great. What'd you think of the Umbrella Academy?
I loved it.
Yeah, this has been a great season.
Yeah, and we're only two episodes in.
Yep.
So, the episode itself was good. The ending was monumental. So, basically, like, Vanya, the woman that she's babysitting there for, you know, her husband had to go to work, air quotes, and ended up going down to the strip club where Luther is working. And Luther basically tells Five, I don't care about the end of the world. I've got a job. I'm working for Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working for Jack Ruby. I don't care. This is what I do now. Go to hell. And then he goes over and picks up the guy who's drunk off his ass and says, you know, let's get you a cab, get you out of here.
Yeah.
So the woman is going to have to go pick up her husband, but, you know, then the son comes out of the bedroom.
Having a moment.
Yeah, so Vanya goes down, and she picks him up, but then Luther realizes that he dropped his wallet, so he heads out the door and sees Vanya, and he's like, oh. He recognizes her. She doesn't recognize him.
Vanya sees him and doesn't react, doesn't do anything, and so, yeah.
So he takes the wallet, gets the address of the guy, and goes there, and kind of confronts her and basically says that,
well, she says, I'm sorry, do I know you? I lost my memory, but you know who I am.
Yep.
And
he starts off by basically making it sound like, you know, for everything that you've done, for all the evil that you did, and she's kind of shaking, and he goes, I need to apologize to you because I sold you out.
And he has a gun.
Yeah. He's like, I sold you out. I didn't help you. I should have defended you. When everybody else turned their back on you, I should have been there. And she's like, I don't know who you are. And then mom shows up with a shotgun and says, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I have your husband's wallet. She's like, oh, next time use the front door.
Yeah. My thought is he was going to kill himself. Like, the whole build-up to his story he was telling was he was going to shoot himself.
See, I thought that he had the gun in case she was still evil and he had to put her down.
No, I got the feeling he was going to kill himself until, you know, mom, if you will, came out.
Right.
You know. So the handler returns to the commission after she's been, you know, she got shot by Hazel last season.
Yeah.
She returns to the commission.
That was a great little scene of watching her body. Like, they're like, did you just hear something? He's like, no, they fart sometimes. And she's like, and he's like, that's not a fart. She's like, get me to a hospital.
Yeah. So she comes back, and she's found out her boss has demoted her because she's been gone and shit's happened.
And, of course, it's the Umbrella Academy, so her boss is a human body with a fish tank and a goldfish in there who actually does smoke.
Who smokes through the hole, like, in the neck, but it goes into the tank. You hear it bubble. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So she gets demoted, and she gets sent to her desk, and, like, the lady behind her, she's like, oh, hey, you want to go get drinks later? Da, da, da. And she's basically like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And when she opens the desk drawer, she sees Five's name tag.
Mr. Five.
Yeah. You know, and Lou screams and throws it. and she throws it up, and her new boss is like, it catches him in the ear and tears his ear open and sticks into the wall.
So that was
pretty solid.
She's going to be fun. We've got Klaus. Klaus is dealing with there were a lot of close calls in this one.
People running into each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting her name. I want to say Rachel. Allison, thank you. So Allison and her husband, the police show up and kick down the door and arrest him and hold her back because they say that he beat the crap out of somebody. Well, it was her.
She's like, no, that was me.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, whatever, lady. Yeah.
Stand back, stand back.
Twice she goes to say, I heard a rumor, and stops herself.
Yep. And the guy actually, like, his eyes roll back up in his head, and then her husband's like, no. I don't think he knows what's
going on. No, because later on he says, why did you say I heard a rumor twice?
Yeah. So he goes to jail, and she's out there waiting in the waiting room for him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, when we see in the jail, there's Klaus, who... another guy who just got thrown in there knows him and says, you know, oh, I'm one of your followers and I was part of the, you know, everything in my life sucked until I came to your place. And Klaus wants nothing to do with him. He's done with that kind of stuff. He pissed off. He gets bailed out.
Well, Klaus is talking to Alice's husband. They have a conversation.
They have a really good conversation.
And then while there's the guy, hey, you're free to go. The governor's office called you free to go. I guess pays to know people in high places. He's like, yep. And Alice's husband's like, hey, if you have any other favors left?
Yeah.
You know, just let the governor know. Me and all my friends have been held here for hours and days without any charges being pressed against us.
And he actually seems, he's like, really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. So, but then when Allison
just misses Allison.
Yeah, she comes back to see her husband and she sees the guy in the jail cell with hello and goodbye on his hands. She's like, where did that come from? He goes, oh, the most beautiful man, and blah, blah, blah. Does he have a name? So she knows that Klaus is around.
Five gets the film developed, that Frankel footage, as they keep calling it.
Yeah.
And
that Hazel made sure to get to him.
Yes. And I can't remember the name of the guy that's from that area that took all the pictures, but he, like, points a gun. Because Klaus and his brother...
Diego.
Diego, sorry. Five and Diego and the girl.
Yep.
Because he goes and, like, what are you guys doing, huh?
Yeah. Because Diego and the girl finally escape, but then he just shows up in the back of the car and he's like, hey, officer.
Yeah, and they're like, fine, we'll go. And so they go back, and he's got the shotgun on him, and they're talking back and forth like it's nothing, and the girl's kind of freaked out.
Yeah, he's like, do you want to take this one? I can take this one. Yeah, no, all right.
So they disarm him.
Yep.
And she sees, you know, five user powers, and there's definitely something about her.
Yes.
I mean, she's a little weird. She's, I need some fresh air, but you're in a closet. Yeah, I know, but I was getting weirded out.
Yeah.
But, so they watch the footage.
The Frankel footage.
And the reason why the guy was freaked out, because it's footage of the grassy knoll.
2 days from now.
Yeah. When Kennedy's assassinated.
Yes.
And who do they see? Their dad.
Yeah. Standing there with his umbrella.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's from the future. It's from 2 days from now when Kennedy comes through. So that's why the guy was freaking out.
Yeah.
Because he's like, who do you work for? So they decide that they've got to go look up Dad. And he's like, how are we going to find him? He's like, oh, if only there was some type of device that we could look up a person's name and address in back in this time period. He just, like, shows him the phone book.
So they find, it's probably, they named, he's like, well, Dad's company's named this. I know what it's named. But he's like, you call it that. And they look, shit. So they show up. Five runs into Pogo, who's a baby, and doesn't recognize him and attacks him.
Well, he acts really timid at first. You know, he's like, oh, like he's really damaged. And he comes over, and Five's like, there you go. And he claws him right across the throat.
And Diego gets into a fight with his dad.
He tails his dad, who's doing the whole James Bond thing, walking very quietly and just like walking straight ahead. You know he's got something. And he beats the shit out of Diego.
Yeah,
Diego's the most agile and dexterous of all of them. And he fucks Diego up.
He stabs him, too.
Yep.
And Butt Five gets him, and so that's kind of how the episode ends. I cannot wait to watch the rest.
But Dad is walking off down the alley, and he kind of, like, makes this noise, and Pogo jumps down, and they walk hand-in-hand away. Like, ooh, badass.
So I'm very excited to see what happens.
I know. It was kind of a cliffhanger there, because both of them were damaged.
Yeah. We got any other shows? Besides S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You got S.H.I.E.L.D. No, I will say that the new show that I watched this week.
Oh, yeah.
They're only doing one episode per week, so I could only watch one, but I watched Lower Decks.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
It's amusing.
I didn't expect you to say just amusing.
Well, it's set in the Star Trek universe. It is definitely more of a Futurama kind of vibe to it than a Star Trek kind of vibe. Right. You have the, you know, you have phasers. You have, like, one of the girls is hyperactive, and she's like, look, it's one of these Klingon it's Battleth.
Right.
But, you know, she can't say it. She's, like, carving it up. And chunks it right down into his leg, and, like, you see the flesh peeling away. And, it dealt with a parasite that they picked up on an away mission. This was Second Contact. First Contact is really good. It's really great. But Second Contact is where you do all the stuff where you, like, set up treaties and you get to know them and you talk about the language and stuff. So Second Contact is even more important than First Contact. But, yeah, it's entertaining. It's definitely not, like, Star Trek. It's more of a Futurama-type thing. But I dig that. You know, so if you're going into this thinking, this is going to be the next Star Trek thing, no, it's Futurama.
I never thought that this was going to be the next Star Trek. I didn't have that when I saw it.
I visited with the Petries recently, and Rebecca is a huge Trekkie, and she was rolling her eyes into the back of her head when I mentioned it. She's like, oh, I don't even want to think of that thing. I don't want to. It doesn't exist in my mind. So if you're looking for a pure Star Trek, no, you're not going to find it. If you're looking for fun, absolutely. There was some hilarious stuff in here. So.
Nice.
So, S.H.I.E.L.D.
So, this is definitely the best season.
Yeah.
This was not the best episode of the season, though.
No.
This was mostly...
a lot of talking.
Well, okay. So, they bring Cora in, and she's like, I want to be an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is what I want to do. And they're like, okay, we'll trust you. I didn't like that.
Nope.
We
get to see a lot of Fitz in memories, in Gemma's memories. And some of them are just clips from earlier seasons.
Because Nathaniel is trying to... He's got, like, the machine where he puts his hands in it, similar to how they talked to Sybil when she was before she, you know, had a body. But basically, Nathaniel's trying to get into Gemma's brain to find Fitz. And Gemma's just like, look, the more you look, the deeper he's going to go. And finally, Nathaniel figures out that he has... Oh, and Deke is caught like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought this was going to be like Die Hard.
Yeah. Nathaniel sees that Gemma's got something in her neck and can't get it out, so he goes into the machine with her. And they beat the fuck out of Deke, too. But he goes in the machine with her, and essentially, we're seeing these different scenes, and each time we see Gemma and Fitz together, there's less and less background stuff. And, of course, it's explained that when by the end when Gemma doesn't know who Fitz is.
Right.
Has no memory of him at all.
Right.
But essentially, what we're led to believe, it's like, Fitz is just like, we got the blood work. We know what's going to happen. And she's like, I know. And he's like, well, I mean, we're essentially building a time machine. Why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
Because the team is relying on us. We're building a time machine. It doesn't matter when we finish it. You can always go back to the time you want to go back to. Even if it's years from now, you can go back to the time you want to go back to.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy our lives together for a while.
Let's go to that little house that we built.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they do. And I'm led to believe that almost that Gemma wanted to forget about Fitz to forget that he died.
It's entirely possible.
But because then they're arguing about, because in the way they're arguing, it's clear Gemma's going to have the device put in to forget about where Fitz is or what's going on. But he's going to say, well, why don't you forget about the blood work? Forget about what that is. And she goes, forget that you know. And she's like, no, I don't want to ever forget that. But if you don't know about it, you won't know.
Right.
So that way, if you forget that as well, then you won't know that you're on a timetable because I'm over here dying or whatever's happening. So I don't know. I'm curious. We only have two episodes left, and they're both there tomorrow night.
Well, don't forget, too. We need to remember that Deke is their grandchild.
Right.
They still haven't given birth yet.
Correct.
So that could be what the blood work is about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah.
And if they knew he was going to die, they could have frozen some sperm.
Right.
So she could impregnate herself with his sperm. even though he's no longer around.
Right.
But does Deke have any memory of Grandpa? See, that's what I don't know.
I can't remember. That was a season or two ago.
But basically, Cora's like, well, Sybil told me that you would never leave your sister and to
Daisy.
And so Daisy's like, yeah, she's right. So then she leaves because Daisy's like, we have to do what Sybil wouldn't expect us to do. Something she couldn't predict. Because, you know, like, she's walking along and I want to say Russo. It's not Russo. Nope.
Sousa.
Thank you. She's like, did you ever skip out on guard duty and da-da-da-da? He's like, do you really think I ever did that? Okay, then let's go with me. Abandoning your post, because that's something that she would never expect.
Yep.
And they get on the ship, and they're going to go out in outer space and just somehow get it to the Zephyr there, catch up to it. And Max shows up. Now you can't open the hangar without director authorization. And he basically figures out instantly what they were doing. So
In fact, he even says it out loud. Yeah. He goes, basically, you're trying to trick her by doing stuff that is completely unexpected. Well, how's this for unexpected?
And he opens the hangar and tells Sousa to get out of his seat, and the three of them take off.
Yep.
And essentially, they're going to get in outer space and then find the Zephyr and then, like, use the rest of their fuel to shoot themselves at it and then coast over to it.
Yep.
And that's what they do this whole episode. Because essentially, they're just arriving at the Zephyr when the penultimate thing's happening at the end.
Which is that Sybil, you know, Coulson discovers that Sybil's in the computer.
Well, no, because May is trying to talk to Cora, and Cora's like, you want to see the powers I have? And she, like, zaps the wall, which shuts the power down in the lighthouse, causing the firewall to go down, and now Sybil gets into the computer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then she's in there. Coulson doesn't know how, but he can understand the language, and she's looking for something. She was looking for the coordinates of all the shield bases, and they start nuking them from orbit.
Yeah, because what the message that Nathaniel sends out in space is the message to the chronocoms, and the chronocoms show up and then start blasting all the shield. Not, I wouldn't say nuking, but blasting all the shield bases and to destroy shield. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
The shield's being destroyed.
It feels like the only way that they're going to...
And the bad guy with Gordon's power shows up, grabs Cora, takes him back to the Zephyr. Cora knows that Nathaniel killed her mother and still makes out with him at the end.
Right. Maybe it's under duress. But the only way that they're going to get out of all this is to go back and, like, stop the first Chronicom or something.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to undo everything that has been done as a result of the Chronicoms trying to do this.
What was the show we were watching? Was it S.H.I.E.L.D.? Where they killed... Oh, no. It was John C. McGinley, Stand Against Evil.
Yes.
Where they killed someone at the end of one episode, and then it's like, holy shit. And then the next episode, they killed everybody. So it's like, well, you know, they got to fix this.
Right.
That's almost how I feel about this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's reached a point now where they've just destroyed all of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
my exact thought was when the Chronicoms showed up and started blasting the S.H.I.E.L.D. facilities, the S.H.I.E.L.D. jumped the shark.
Yep.
With that, in this season, with that moment.
Yep.
But this is still the best season we've had in the last, you know,
of course it is.
I think ever. And we got two more episodes, other than the Ghost Rider series section. We got two more episodes. I'm excited to see what happens.
Now, did you say that they're back to back?
Yes, they're both on the 12th.
Oof. Oof, that's rough.
Why?
Well, I mean, this is the end. This is the last.
Oh, yeah.
The end is at hand, is one of them, and what we're fighting for is the other one. Yeehaw.
You know, it's funny. I did actually watch, because I wanted to watch one particular scene, but I ended up watching the last hour of Avengers Endgame.
Yep.
Holy cow, is that an hour of amazingness.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I just wanted to see, Captain America.
Wielding Mjolnir.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. But I ended up watching that whole last hour, and it's just an amazing hour, because everything coming together. And I don't care what anyone wants to say about Mary Sue's blah, 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 okay? When Cap stands up and Apocalypse. Nope.
I'm sorry.
Apocalypse, Jesus.
Sorry, what?
Thanos? Thanos, I don't know why I said Apocalypse. Thanos says his speech, and, you know, and all his men are showing, you know, all his armies showing up, and he's like, you know, I've never taken pleasure in my work, but I'm going to enjoy destroying this planet and this and that. Cap stands up. tightens his shield, and it's basically like, bring it on. And then you hear, Kevin, Cap, yeah, on your left. And you see the first thing start to open up, you know, Beals Pimples
right now.
Dude, it was so amazing. And then I love, you have this big dramatic moment. Everyone's showing up. And then you see, like, you know, Doctor Strange turn and go like, is that everybody? Isn't this enough?
Yeah.
You know? Or Spider-Man showing up to Tony Stark, like, Mr. Stark, remember when I was on the planet and I went all dust? And he, you know, he's just doing the whole thing and Tony just hugs him. He's like, oh, we're doing this now? This is nice. Like, you have this hugely dramatic moments, and they're still buffered with some comedy that makes it amazing.
Right.
That's as much as I'm going to talk about that.
So what's watching movies?
Okay, so I watched a couple old movies, watched some new movies. Watched Summer Rental. Classic, I think it was 85, John Candy's first feature film.
Yep.
You know, him and he's an air traffic controller.
I don't remember the box art.
I completely forgot that. He's an air traffic, carrying the cooler, stepping over the person, water, he's an air traffic controller who is basically stressed out and burnt out. I completely understand that.
Yeah.
And he mistakes, like, a fly or a piece of food on the screen for a small plane that's not answering him. So they make him take, like, a month vacation to just, I get that too. And so they go to this beach house that they're going to rent, and it was nowhere near as nice as they'd like to believe, and, you know, mischief happens.
Yep.
It's great.
It is.
I really enjoyed it. I watched a shit-fucking movie on Netflix called Paradise Beach that's fucking garbage, and avoid it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
What'd you watch for a movie?
I watched the HBO Max exclusive An American Pickle. And I will say this, HBO Max, again, I'm getting my money's worth because it's damn good stuff. So An American Pickle is the story of Seth Rogen and Seth Rogen. In the late 1800s, 1886 or something like that, he is a...
Keep reading. Keep talking. I mean, I just read the thing and I'm like, what?
He's playing a Polish immigrant. Who him and his wife come over here. We get a nice lead up, like talking about him, talking about how he met her. And we get to see them come over to America and try to make their dream come true. You know, little things like they're walking down the street and they see somebody selling seltzer water out on the side of the road for a nickel a glass. And they're like, oh, that's expensive. And then he gets a job at a pickle factory at, They won't hire him for anything except for killing rats. So he gets basically a leg from a piano, and he gets to run around smashing rats. And then one day he's up on the catwalk, and he's chasing a rat, and then there are a bunch of other rats, and then a bunch of other rats the other way, and they all basically corner him, and they're coming after him, and he falls into a pickle vat, which nobody notices. Right after he falls in, they put the lid on top. And then right as they put the lid on top and seal it, somebody comes in and goes, all right, this place has been condemned. Everybody clear out. So he's stuck in that vat for 100 years. We see a news story where the scientists are sitting up there and they're like, yes, the pickle brine preserved him perfectly. The reporters are like, how does that make sense? That literally makes no sense. And they go, well, we're glad you asked. And then you hear the narrator say, so the scientists explained exactly how it made sense and how he was preserved in the pickle brine. And then the reporters are like, wow, that really makes sense. Yes, that's good. So now it's 100 years in the future. He meets his descendant, his great-grandson, who is also played by Seth Rogen. Nice. And it's cute. It's fun. He's trying, you know, he says something he's like, what do you want to drink? And he's like, I don't know. He goes, I got seltzer water. He's like, you have seltzer water? And he's like, yeah, I got a machine because he has like a soda stream.
Yeah.
And so to him, his great grandson is rich. Like he looks around at the electric, you know, he says, Alexa, turn on lights. And he's like, holy crap. You know, it's blowing his mind because it was the 1800s. Or I'm sorry, when he got over there, it was like 1912. But he finds out that the patch of land that he had bought to be a family graveyard.
Yeah.
The burial plot is kind of like out. It's just this little tract of land, and it was bought up because nobody was around, and it was bought up, and there's a big billboard up there, and he swears that he is going to make enough money to buy that land back and turn it back into a graveyard like it's supposed to be. It's a good movie. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
I watched an Amazon original movie called Blow the Man Down.
Okay. Pirate movie?
Nope. It's a little different.
Okay.
It it takes place in the fictional Maine town of Easter Cove.
Okay.
But it was actually filmed in Maine, in Harpswell, in Cundy's Harbor, Bailey Island area.
Oh.
Yeah. Basically, you know, I don't really want to ruin it. It's a fun movie. It's fun to watch. It's a... They describe it as kind of like a comedy, drama, mystery. I didn't see any comedy.
Okay.
It's more of a murder mystery. And it's also the, we're a small town who does small town things. And we're going to do those things.
That's how everybody thinks Maine is.
Yeah. And Ed O'Toole's in it. There's only a couple of people that try to do a really bad Maine accent. But they're brief. For the most part, no one tries, which is great. But I got to be honest when I say I enjoyed the flick. There's these odd moments where these fishermen sing songs, like Blow the Man Down and everything.
Okay.
That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the story itself is good. So I don't know if I'll wait and talk about it more maybe next week in case you want to watch it this week.
Okay.
But it's decent.
Okay.
I watched another Netflix movie. That was on Amazon Prime. I watched a flick on Netflix called What Keeps You Alive.
Okay. This was a movie. This was not the documentary.
Correct. What Keeps You Alive, really good, I think. It evidently came out in 2018, initially, but I don't know how long it's been on Netflix. It's an IFC Midnight film. Essentially, this lesbian couple goes to this cabin that one of the women has owned in their family.
Yep.
And, you know, it shows them kind of like getting along and this and that and everything. And then someone shows up one night. Someone shows up the first night, and it's someone that lives across the lake from them. And she showed up to the house because she hasn't seen any lights on the cabin in so long. And here's what's interesting. The two people in it, you have Jackie, and you have Jules.
Okay.
And when Sarah, the neighbor, shows up, she calls Jackie Megan. Megan, is that you? Oh, I haven't seen you since we were kids. It's like, is her name Megan? And that kind of starts the downhill turn that Jackie isn't who she says she is. And Jackie maybe enjoys killing people.
Oh. Neat.
I enjoyed the hell out of the movie.
Oh, cool.
I really did. So again, if you would like to watch it, I would watch this over Blow the Man Down.
Okay.
But it's,
and where was this again?
Netflix.
Netflix.
And it's called What Keeps You Alive. And then the last thing I watched movie-wise, you didn't have any other movies, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I watched the 4.5-hour documentary called In Search of Darkness, which is about 80s horror movies. This is fan-fucking-tastic. It's so good. They interviewed so many people, from actors and actresses that were in these movies, to directors and producers, to, like, you know, podcast hosts, people from today that love the horror movies. And it literally, I mean, like, A, it talks about horror movies in general. It talks about, then it literally goes year by year. It doesn't go over every single movie that came out in 1980, but it goes 80 to 89. And it talks about the key ones that came out, why they liked it. The movie does not, my buddy Brandon described it the best, and I wish I could remember what he said. But it describes these movies and the genres of these movies without being, like, uppity, snarky, shitty people.
Okay.
They don't really shit on any movie. They talk why they enjoyed the movie, maybe why they didn't enjoy the movie. But it's so great. And not only do they go year by year, and they show us the wonderful cover art, maybe little clips of the movie, but then they'll go off and be like, they'll talk about, like, a genre of horror films, like, or they'll talk about a theme, like, horror movie holiday themes, like, you know, April Fool's Day and Black Christmas or Silent Night, Deadly Night, or St. Valentine's Day. You know, it's not St. Valentine's Day Massacre, but you know, the one in the mind we saw the remake of with Jansen Ackles.
My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody Valentine. Like, they'll talk about the different themes. They'll talk about the sex and teen AM movies theme. They talk about all these different themes for these movies, as well as going year by year of the movies. And they just do such a great job of it. And I got a list of all kinds of movies I'd never seen before, some I'd never even heard of. I definitely want to check that out. So it's a celebration of 80s horror movies. It's really good.
Nice.
It's positive and upbeat. And I watched it over a few days because it's 4.5 hours. But, like, it's great because where it goes year by year, you don't feel the need to sit down and watch the whole thing. You can literally, all right, I'm, you know, starting with 1984, I'm going to go ahead and stop it. I'll kick it up tomorrow, watch 84 to 86 or whatever. Like, yeah, I give it a hard, hard sell if you can find a copy. Because it was one of those Kickstarter movies.
Right.
And when the DVDs came out, they were $47.99, and now they're already sold out. So I don't know if they're going to make any more or not. I acquired a copy. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yep.
But I really, really enjoyed it. News and trailers?
News and trailers!
Did I send you any trailers?
You did.
See, I don't remember. Because I might have done it when I was...
You sent me Ratchet.
Yes. Yeah, Ratchet. Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix original series with the guys that gave us American Horror Story.
Yeah.
It stars Sarah Paulson as Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah.
The fictional, like, nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, yeah, who was...
A psychiatric nurse in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean,
essentially she ruled with an iron fist and everyone was afraid of her. And this is her origin story, so it's a prequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And apparently she has no qualms with killing people. She's clearly a sociopath.
Yep. It seems weird to me,
yeah,
that
Ryan Murphy.
They said one of the most iconic characters in film history. Really?
No, I didn't get that.
Don't think so.
But she has become a... She's a household name in reference to, like, whenever you're referring to a sociopathic, overbearing, or psychotic nurse, or they'll make the jokes of, oh, hey, what's up, Nurse Ratchet?
Right.
So it has become pop culture.
Yep.
From the book and from the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But, yeah, I didn't get that over-exaggeration.
No.
You sent me trailers.
I sent you a lot of trailers.
Yes, you did.
The Boys Season 2 final trailer.
That looks great.
Does look great. Can't wait.
Aya Cash's character... is definitely not what you think she is from the first trailer.
Right. She seems like a fangirl in the first trailer.
Yes, but in the second trailer, the character she's playing was a male in the comic books who was basically a
Nazi,
white supremacist.
Yep.
And we see that coming out of her in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Very excited.
Now, along those lines, one of my news pieces that they just announced is Sean Ashmore is going to be in Season 2 as Lamplighter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Remember how they kept talking about him and he's the one that retired from the 7?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember what happened to him in the comic books and I was surprised we didn't see him. So I wonder if they're going to go that story.
I don't know. But yeah, they had one picture of him sitting there, like, holding his fingers up with a little flame coming out of him.
Nice.
And it's a great juxtaposition because, you know, in the X-Men movies, he played Iceman.
Yes.
Now he's Lamplighter.
That's funny.
Yep.
Oh, did you hear in the future X-Men movies that the rumor is Shia LaBeouf is going to play Iceman? That's my segue. You said Iceman.
Fuck Shia LaBeouf.
I get you.
I sent you Raised by Wolves.
Yeah.
Which is the new one from Ridley Scott. TV series, which makes no sense.
What did you say, TV series?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you sent me the trailer, based on the title, I expected one thing, and then I watched the trailer, and I'm like, well, that's not what I expected at all.
That's not what anybody expected at all.
Yeah.
Androids and uprisings and just weird-ass shit.
And maybe it's a play on a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Maybe.
So the android's supposed to be there to help you, but...
I sent you one that I honestly couldn't believe showed up on my thing, and I had to share it with you, which was hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm.
Yeah.
The newest Troma movie.
Looks great, though.
Based on The Tempest.
Yep.
Wow. Lloyd Kaufman's still going.
He's actually in the documentary, too, In Search of Darkness.
Oh, nice.
Because they do a little section on Troma films and why the Troma company's been able to survive all these years. But yeah, no, I mean, I'll check it out.
Yep. This was not a real trailer, but I sent this to you and I had to mention it on here.
Oh, yeah.
Jason and Friends.
Yes.
Basically, somebody imagined what would it be like if Jason Voorhees was the subject of an 80s cartoon.
Yes.
The main character, Jason and Friends. It was fucking hilarious.
It was hilarious, and I would watch the hell out of that if it existed.
Little dog with the hockey mask on, and he gets the blood splattered all over him, and then the overly excessive slamming of the two heads together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just great. The Owners, Maisie Williams, some kids who basically break into houses, and then in this case, the owners come home.
And they're not what you expect.
No, they're like old people, but they basically are killing these kids.
It's similar to, what's the one that had, the one on Hulu, where the young Bonnie and Clyde break into the house. It kind of gave
villains.
It gave me that feel, like the kids went to the wrong house.
Yep.
Except that was more comedic and weird, and this is definitely more like Mr. Roland, thrillery horror type stuff.
Now, the next trailer that I sent you was for the Saved by the Bell reboot. I have two minds on this one, and I think a lot of people agree with me, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay. I'll be honest. Okay, I'm excited to watch the show. I do want to watch it.
Okay.
However, both trailers, although I found funny moments in them, I think they're relying too heavily on nostalgia flashbacky shit, and I don't think it's going to work because it's too stupid.
Yeah.
It's too campy, too stupid. It's not as awesome as I was hoping it was going to be.
Right.
You know, in this second trailer, we do get Jesse, like, someone's offering one of the other kids caffeine pills, and that's fucking dumb. And Jesse shows up and knocks it out of their hand or grabs it. It's like, these caffeine pills? Oh, I get it. I remember when, you know, you're going to be so excited. And then you're going to feel even more so excited. But then you're going to be so scared. So it's funny that, you know, that was like, ha, 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 throwback. But, yeah, because of that, it feels like they're going to spend too much time making fun of the original series instead of paying kind of homages to it. I just don't feel like it's going to work. Not like Girl Meets World work.
Right.
You know what I mean? With Boy Meets World. But what's your...
I loved the Jesse Spano thing.
Yeah.
I loved that they did the caffeine pills, because it's kind of an inside joke with me and Kelly.
Yeah.
And I even got her the little pop figure of her with the caffeine pills.
Oh, that's funny.
So I sent her the trailer, and my comment to her was exactly how I think of this. You need to watch this trailer.
Yes.
You absolutely have to watch this trailer.
Sure.
The show is going to be dog shit.
Yes.
And you're right. It's way too much of a mockery.
Yeah.
I don't care about these kids. They all look like just pretentious teens that I want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to watch the show even less, is what I said to you.
Yes.
Like, so, before I was like, oh, maybe I'll check it out. Now I watch this and I'm like, I don't want to check this out at all.
I do want to check it out, but it's not thrilling.
The last trailer that I sent you, again, was a shocker to show up on my timeline, but holy crap. You cannot kill David Arquette.
Dude, I feel like maybe I heard something about a documentary, because as soon as I started watching the trailer, it rang a bell a little bit, but basically...
Yeah, I get it, rang a bell.
Basically, you know, David Arquette returned to wrestling. Because the biggest joke or furiousness was back in 2000, David Arquette won the WCW World's Heavyweight Championship. One of the most prestigious titles in wrestling, and they put it on an actor. That was the thing. Now, you go back, you watch it now in hindsight, it was a storyline, it made sense, it was what it was, but at the same time, and here's the thing, David Arquette loved wrestling. He was passionate about wrestling.
That's why he did Ready to Rumble.
Yes. And that's how he got in WCW and everything. And then even 2010, he had a singles match, he had a match on Raw, for WWE on Raw, he was in a tag team match in 2010. But then, in, I think it was 2016 or 17, he decided he was going to wrestle for real. Like, he wanted something to prove himself. And he went out there and he got trained, and apparently they filmed the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, his announcement and everything. The trailer looks fucking amazing.
It does.
It looks absolutely amazing. And I actually saw David Arquette wrestle.
Yeah.
In 2019, when I was down in New York for the Indie Mania weekend, during WrestleMania weekend, I went to shows at the WrestleCon weekend. On one of the WrestleCon shows, he wrestled Timothy Thatcher. He lost, but he wrestled Timothy Thatcher. And then
was it a good match? Did he look like he knew how to wrestle?
He looked good.
Okay.
But, like, he wrestled some death matches with Nick Gage, and he got a light tube in his neck by accident and ripped his neck open. And, I mean, like...
They mentioned in the trailer that he had a heart attack at one point.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was wrestling related.
No, it was before wrestling. Okay. But the thing is, in the eyes of the wrestling fans who have been pissed for 20 years or 17 years at that time that David Arquette was WCW champion, I had gotten over it. I was like, I can look at different eyes. But in a lot of the eyes of the fans, he has now redeemed himself, because he went out there and paid some dues.
And that seems to be what this is about.
And what's great is that times when Russell has a heel, because at the same time, all his money he donated to a fallen wrestler's fund to help families of wrestlers that had died too young.
Oh, wow.
That he earned from WCW. When he was in WCW, I mean. His current money, I don't know what he did with it. Maybe you'll find this documentary. But when he was playing a bad guy someplace, he would be like, he'd make the ring announcer announce him as the former WCW world champion.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? Just to piss people off.
Yep.
But realistically, like, he went out there, he worked his ass off, and he proved himself, and, like, he literally changed 98% of the fans' opinions out there. It was like, oh, David Arquette does like wrestling, and he cares about it, he's working his ass off, you know? And then when he was actually at WrestleCon as a guest, if you will, where you could get autographs and pictures with him, and I actually regret not doing that. I was on a budget, though. He was $60.
Mm.
But for $60, you got your picture with him, he signed as much stuff as you wanted, and he gave you a T-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it was
actually, seems worth it at that point.
Yeah, it does. But I didn't realize at the time, you know, I think my buddy Mikey, you know, did it. So I kind of regret it. But, yeah, I'm very excited about this documentary. It comes out on demand. It says August 28th. So I'm going to have to try and figure out where I can watch it.
Yeah.
You know, where on demand is it?
Right.
You know, but I really want to watch
this. Whether you have to rent
it
or...
Yeah. So I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm sure they're going to have shit tons of extra footage if they do a DVD.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bonus footage or deleted scenes or whatever. So, yeah. I'm glad you sent that to me. I fucking sent it out to all my friends and
nice.
Everyone, like Brandon.
I'm not usually when I see wrestling related stuff. Yep. I'm like, well, Mike's already seen this, but I'll send it anyway.
I hadn't seen it.
That was shocking to me.
Yeah, I didn't see it. It was, I mean, and I didn't. It hasn't been on my Twitter feed or my Facebook. No one really has seen it. I shared it on Twitter. I sent it to a bunch of people, and everyone like Jay and Brandon and Paul and I were like, I can't wait to watch this. I can't wait to watch this. So
it looks good.
And I'm curious if they're going to have footage from the show I was at, because I was front row.
You get some new stuff?
A little bit. I didn't send this to you, but I read a couple articles that there's allegedly a Lucas cut of... Was it The Last Jedi? Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah. Like, he took... Or is it Rise of Skywalker? Fuck. Lucas cut. Yeah.
While you're on that, have you seen that video where the guy shows you how all the Star Wars titles are wrong?
Yes!
Love it.
I think it's great. I think he's right.
Yeah.
And he justifies why they should be called what they should be. And I think
he's
right.
And I like that he used all the actual names.
Yes,
like,
he just rearranged
the names.
Yeah, okay, here we go. That there is a Lucas cut for Rise of Skywalker. That he took the footage, that was cut from the film, made his own version with all the footage that was out there.
Huh.
Including, apparently, a Force Ghost conversation between Ben Solo and Hayden Christensen's version of Anakin.
Huh.
Yeah. And the rumor is it's going to be released on Disney Plus.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know how far this is going to go or what's going to happen with it, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got any news?
Oh, I got a lot of news, but you sent me a couple other things.
Yeah.
John Wick 5 is coming?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're filming John Wick 4, and they're going to film John Wick 5 at the same time.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I enjoy the movies.
So now we know that whatever happens, he survives the end of 4.
Yep.
You also sent me the one about A League of Their Own.
Oh yeah, they're going to do A League of Their Own television series.
Yep. They've already started casting some of the actors. It's on Amazon, I think.
It's going to be on Amazon. And I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the movie.
I think it would be good as a TV series, as long as they don't drag it out too long.
Right.
Yeah.
I do remember the news things I sent you.
Well, I wrote them down. Mike, John Wick 5 coming. Mike, A League of Their Own coming. So I've got some new stuff, as I usually do.
Yeah.
This week was actually good. August 22nd, by the way, is DC Fandom.
Okay.
So that's when we'll get all the news about the fucking Snyder Cut and all the weeds can blow their loads.
Yeah.
Not sure why, but there's a Ren and Stimpy reboot coming from Comedy Central.
Oh, did I send you? Yeah, you sent me the trailer of the documentary.
Yes.
So when I did remember seeing that, and was like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So now Comedy Central will reimagine, that's air quotes, the series for a new generation, according to Hollywood Reporter. I don't know why Siri was suddenly... Oh, because I said series.
That's kind of funny.
There's no information about when the series will debut or how many episodes it'll run, but this is the same group that's doing Beavis and Butthead, Clone High, and a Daria spinoff. So, that's interesting. For some ungodly reason, Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano are teaming up to bring back Who's the Boss.
Fucking serious?
With the same characters years later.
Okay.
I have no fucking idea why.
Well, because nostalgia's real big right now, and apparently they're going to try to reboot everything.
Yeah. Nia DaCosto, who is directing Candyman right now,
yep.
She is going to be the director of Captain Marvel 2.
Oh, okay.
High Fidelity was canceled. No season 2. I actually included that in my list because I'm like, yeah, the fucking show sucked.
Shrug my shoulders.
So, yep. Astra is going to be returning on Legends of Tomorrow. She's going to be a series regular this next season.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
With the departures that we've had.
I'm going to save that one for the end. MacGruber. Did you ever see the MacGruber sketches on...
Yeah, and then they made a movie.
Yep. Now they're doing a series on Peacock.
Shrugs my shoulders.
He's been in jail for 10 years, and now he's out, and he wants to get revenge. Disney Plus is going to be rebooting Three Men and a Baby. Zac Efron's going to be one of them. One of the men, I assume. New York Comic Con, they've officially announced it is canceled. It will be online, virtual only. It didn't work that well for San Diego. Nope. Hopefully they learn their lessons. My Spy, they're looking into doing a sequel of it.
My Spy.
Dave Bautista?
Oh.
Really liked?
That was really good, yeah.
Yep.
With this, a little girl, yeah.
Yeah. This I thought you'd like. Hold on. Judd Apatow.
I'm listening.
Yep. Judd Apatow's 2-part documentary on George Carlin to premiere on HBO. Back in June, Judd Apatow revealed he was at work on a documentary about George Carlin lauding the sharp tongued comics works as prophetic. Today,
yes,
Deadline
is.
Reports that HBO will premiere the film, which is slated to unfold across 2 parts. Apatow will direct with the help of longtime collaborator Mike Bonfiglio, with UK's Rise Films producing alongside Apatow Productions. They previously collaborated on HBO's The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. The sting of his words is as sharp now as it was when he was on stage, Rise's Teddy Leifer says. Carlin is the comedian's comedian who mastered his craft and shaped American counterculture such that he paved the way for a generation of comics that follows. In addition to interviewing Carlin's friends and family, Apatow and Bonfiglio will plumb the depths of Carlin's stand-up specials and TV appearances for the film. They'll also comb through Carlin's personal archive, journals, scrapbooks, unreleased audio, which are stored at the National Comedy Center.
I fucking awesome. Love George Carlin, and I have said many, 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 many times. I wonder what his take on what side of what's going on today would be.
I know.
Not just because of the pandemic, but just all over the years.
Yep.
And I'm going to go back to this. I'm so glad we went down to New Hampshire and saw him live.
100%.
You know, it was 100%. Like the year before his death, or
yep.
less than a year before he died.
Yep.
That was so amazing and so worth it, even though the opening act was the shittiest fucking thing. And it's legit the only time I wanted to see a crowd riot and throw a guy outside.
I know. It was bad. So, this is very interesting.
Well, that's not the final news?
No.
I thought that's what you're saving to the end.
This is the final news because this is monumentally interesting.
All right.
And as somebody who's big on nostalgia, I think this will interest you. Have you ever heard of the Paramount Consent Decrees? 1938, basically the United States government decreed, they went to the Supreme Court, essentially. They went through attorney generals and then the Supreme Court. And in the 40s, it was put into effect. Essentially said that movie studios could no longer own theaters.
Oh, yes, okay.
Because basically, they owned everything.
Right.
They owned the actors.
Yes.
They owned, like, if an actor worked with Paramount, that was it. He worked with Paramount.
Right.
They owned
They were signed to contracts.
Yes.
And sometimes they signed them as kids to lifetime contracts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they owned the theaters.
Yes.
So they could set up their own movies. They could charge whatever they wanted. There was price gouging. So the Paramount consent decrees were put into effect, and they said, you can no longer do this. Movie production companies can no longer own theaters.
Yep.
they've been doing a review, a 70-year review of all of these laws like that, that they have to go through and say, I guess they had, like, some laws that were on the books that had to do with people copyrighting photographs. And they're like, that's useless. Why do we still have that anymore? Well, they're throwing out the Paramount consent decrees.
Really?
Because in this day and age, you have companies like Amazon or Netflix or HBO.
Right. That, and they're making their own stuff and airing it on their own networks and streaming devices, streaming services.
So they've come to the conclusion that it is no longer a monopoly if movie companies want to buy theaters and own them.
That may be the only way theaters survive.
It may actually be. And it goes beyond that, because if they start buying up these theaters, say Disney buys up AMC.
Yeah.
They buy up all of AMC. They paid billions of dollars, and they now own AMC theaters.
Yeah.
What movies do you think are going to show up in AMC theaters?
Disney movies?
Only Disney.
Disney, movies. Marvel, Fox movies, whatever they own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you won't see other movies there. The Railroad Square cinemas are going to be the only places where you're going to get to see indie movies.
Right.
Because when Paramount buys a studio, they're not going to be playing Sundance stuff.
Right.
They're going to play their own stuff. They're going to charge their own prices, and they're going to make all the money because...
Right.
But, like you said, it's the only way that these theaters are going to survive.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's basically a crapshoot. These theaters are going to try to open soon. And every place else around the world that has opened theaters, they've had to shut down within weeks because there's outbreaks. So they're going to try to reopen. And, I mean, we saw what happened with Mulan. Mulan is now going to Disney.
Yes.
Disney Plus, you've got to pay $30 to rent it.
That's fucking garbage, by the way.
It is. If you want me to pay $30 and then it stays permanently in my library, that's one thing. But just to rent it, no.
No, I don't want to see it that bad.
No. When, in a couple of months, it'll be on there for free anyway.
And but because they did that in Mulan, now people are like, what can you do with Black Widow? Do with Black Widow, do with Black Widow. It's going to be a premium tier on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Yep. Which they never talked about when we first got into this.
Well, it's probably something they just came up with because of COVID, yeah.
Yep. So I have this really good article. I can send it to you if you want.
Please do.
It's basically all about, like, where the consent decrees came from. It was... You know, to combat vertical integration, what it means now.
Yeah, I would love to read that.
Yeah, it's really good. And so this is actually really huge. This is bigger than, you know, just, oh, look, there's a new movie production company. Now they have that open window, and they could, you know, Roman's Chinese Theater could get bought up by somebody.
Yeah.
AMC theaters, Regal Cinemas could be bought up by one of these big production companies, and... then they're only going to show their movies.
Right.
Or, you know, Universal, if you want to show your movies here, you're going to have to pay a premium to us. And do they want to do that, or do they want to go out and buy their own theaters?
And then it's like, so all these movie production companies or movie houses now going to own theaters, but now you're going to see multiple theaters in, like, Augusta now again? Because it's like, well, Universal wants to get that target audience, so, like, they're going to put a theater in Portland and put a theater in Bangor, but... is that going to be enough to draw the people to want to go drive all that way to see those specific movies?
Yep.
Maybe will. Maybe yes, maybe no.
The article talks about one...
are they going to make their movies available to, like, drive-ins and places that don't own them?
We don't know.
That's the other thing.
That's another part that's weird. But the article talked about a small movie company that actually sued to stop this a while ago because they were getting crushed. And in the meantime, while they were trying to sue, they got bought out by one of the other bigger chains. Because they were just like, fuck it, we'll just buy you. So, this is going to be very interesting. Because with COVID and everything, if it wasn't for COVID, I'd be like, wow, this is going to really suck. But with COVID, theaters are already sucking the tip.
It's amazing how drive-ins are having such a resurgence. And I'm wondering if it'll dry up when theaters open up again and people feel safe to go to theaters, if they're going to stop going to the drive-in. Or people are like, you know what, I really enjoy doing this.
Yep. See, this is where I would love to live, in a place that doesn't have winters.
Yes.
You know? Arizona or the Pacific Northwest. Some place that doesn't get snowfall or ice storms. So that drive-ins could be open year-round and really see if they stick with this or not.
But. Well, it's funny because drive-ins really can stay open late in the season as they can until it snows.
Yep.
You know, like... I mean, in the spring, they have to wait till the ground's dry enough so it's not all mud season, because we have big mud season in May. But literally in the winter, I mean, they could go and stay late because people will run their vehicles to run their air conditioning in the summer. So they could run their vehicles to run the heat in the winter.
I think the other factor in that is how soon the sun goes down. Because drive-ins usually do, oh, we start when the sun goes down.
Right.
That could be 4 o'clock in the afternoon
winter. Well, in December, et cetera, but like early November even. If they could go to early November, the sun does go down early.
But
they could say, we're going to start at 7. Yeah. We're going to start at 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because the sun's down doesn't mean we're going to start the second it's dusk. It's different in the summertime when the sun sets at fucking 9 o'clock at night.
Right. And you're sitting there going, come on, start the fucking movie. I got to get home before 2 in the morning.
I want to see this double feature, though.
That's right. So.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's going to be very
interesting. Please send me that article.
Yep, I will.
All right, well, that's the episode. Again, on Twitter, I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks for listening.
Later.